If you want to be a wise guy, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be a strong man, you can do it anywhere. If you want to be an Indian chief, cowboy, you can do it anywhere. You can't do it anymore.
Wrestling Radio. I am the internet icon, Handsome Jackie Jones, along with my right-hand man.
1-inch biceps, the power goat. Bah! You heard some of that power earlier, Jack.
I did. Well, there was some technical difficulties, and Intra was... He was ripping up the studios, but joining us right now, he's the Vampire Warrior. He's actually... Probably, I'm going to say, even... Not just because he's on here, but I think the greatest entrance has got to be up there in wrestling of all time. Gangrel is with us. How are you doing?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Man, I'm sorry. I've been running all over the place. I've been doing a little bit of banging and banging, but I'm just glad I got to the phone and able to talk to you guys today.
Yeah, it's awesome to talk to you. And let everybody know this weekend you're going to be at Rock and Shock, and that's in Worcester, Massachusetts. You're going to be with Sinners and Saints Tattoo guys, and their website's sinnersandsaintstattoo.com. It's only about 10 minutes away from my house. And Rock and Shock is rockandshock.com. And I talked a little bit off air. You have not been to Rock and Shock before. And are you looking forward to being at the convention?
Oh, yeah. I'm pumped. I haven't been pumped about a weekend of work in a long time. So I'm not even looking at it as like work. I'm just coming out there to have a great time. I want to catch Danzig and hope to see Twisted. Go do a little Freddy Krueger action over there. Hit Sage. I'm looking forward to it. I'm kind of like a kid at the candy store with all the creature features and monsters and rock and roll going on.
Yeah. It's something I talk a lot about on the show is the horror conventions in general, everyone really is like one big family because everyone has like one common bond. The fans, the guests, everyone alike, they all just love horror movies. So it's like everyone just is cool with each other.
Yeah, tremendous. I am really, really looking forward to it. And hanging out with Sinners of Saints, Vaughn, he's a great guy down there. And heck, I'm looking to get some ink on down there. I'm just gonna make this one. Like, this is my Christmas when Halloween rolls around in the October to season, fall season. It's just a blast, and I'm really happy that they're bringing me out to do this. The Rocket Shock to be a part of this, and I'm just looking to have a fangin' and bangin' time, man.
Yeah. I have to ask you, are there any vampires on film that inspired your character?
Well, I mean, to be honest, it came down to The Lost Boys, the movie The Lost Boys.
Nice.
I was sitting around and, with Kiefer Sutherland, and it was the late 80s, and I was sitting around with Luna, who I was with for 18 years. She was a wrestler, Luna Vachon, and I said to her, I'd be pretty cool to be a vampire wrestler, and she said, sure, you should do it. I go, nah, you know, the way wrestling is, it would never work, and she convinced me that it would. So from 1989 on, I did plugins, whole vampire thing, working as a vampire warrior in Puerto Rico and throughout Japan, and then finally convinced WWF at the time that, you know, vampires are cool, they're not going anywhere, and they heard that this Blade movie was coming out, so they jumped on the boat before the Blade movie popped, and there it was, Gangrel. And for all you vampire people, I know Gangrel is a clan. It's not an individual, so all these true vampires and role players out there, you know, I didn't think the name, that was missing, man. But yeah, that's how it came about, and man, it was from the Lost Boys.
Yeah. What's that from, Vampire the Masquerade?
Yeah. Gangrel comes out of Vampire Masquerade. It was a clan. A clan. Gangrel is a type of clan, like a Bruja clan, the Gangrel clan. And Vince, he wanted the name Gangrel. He thought it sounded cool. He didn't realize that it was legally owned by Masquerade. That's how come you see all the advertising back in the day in the Attitude Era for Masquerade. He had to lease the name for 5 years and advertise for them.
Yeah. So how much input did you have, like, on the whole entrance and the whole character?
And that entrance came about, they called me on a Friday. First of all, Vince told me he didn't want to use the vampire character. He told me to get rid of the fangs. I had them permanently implanted, grow my hair in. I used to have a mohawk. And I mean, he was just not used to the vampire thing. Well, I guess he couldn't create a control over Bruce, not Bruce, but Vince Russo, briefly there for a month. And within that month, he decided he wanted to slide the vampire character in. So on a Friday night, they called me and said, hey, can you still do the vampire thing? And I was like, sure. So by Sunday, I came up with an insurance, the fire, and I came up with the blood, the outfit. You know, they gave me an idea of what they wanted to wear, and they told me about the insurance they were working on coming up to the stage. And it all came together in less than 72 hours, 48 hours.
Wow. Did you ever, I know it's a silly question maybe, but did you ever almost get burnt on the fire? Because, you know, it's real fire and you're walking through it.
Well, I've never had any issue with the fire up till when they hired me back the last time to do when they were going to do their ECW run.
Mm-hmm.
They changed the elevator up for Mysterio, because Mysterio was popping out of the floor, so they wanted me to come through that, and they didn't anticipate or get the figures in right on the backdrop coming in, because it was a much smaller hole. And on a dry run, it was right before a handicap match with Taker. Me and Viscera, I went to go through the run-through, and the flames sucked in right on top of me, and literally I was stuck down in the hole where they were trying to hand raise this lift, holding my skin as it just melted off my arm, just peeling and my skin. And I got real athletic all of a sudden, did about an 8-foot leap up on it. I probably could have been in the Olympics, so he really thought it was a vampire flyer when that fire got on me. And I came up out of that hole, and it was a nasty burnout. But, I mean, I cleaned it up, wrapped it up, went out there and wrestled less than an hour later.
Yeah. I remember there was a lot of talk. It was like it was you and Kevin Thorne, and you guys were going to, like, take over certain people on ECW and, like, make them vampires. And was there
right.
Was that really what people talked about? Like, was that where it was going to go?
What they told me I was going to come in and start a faction with Kevin Thorne and then Ariel, Shelly Martinez, and a couple other people, and it was going to be the top deal in ECW, then. I went home and I didn't hear anything for like 6 months. The next thing I heard, they called me up to let me go. And they said, well, it really didn't work. And I just kind of laughed. I said, well, you put Kevin in there and tried to run with him first and whatever. It is what it is. And sort of came down to. So it never really took off the way it was explained to me and probably the way you heard it. But that's the deal with that. So they let me go. And I just went back to out there in the Indies. And I moved out to California, a wrestling school out here, Knott's Pro. And just this training camp during the week, and I'm on the road every weekend. I'm still blessed to be hanging and banging, doing the vampire thing across the nation and the world. I mean, it's just awesome. And, you know, why the fans are listening, if there's any fans listening, I'd like to thank them, because I could do it without them. You know, they come out, still show support, still get behind me, and, you know, right there with the blood spray and everything, and they're just awesome. So big thank you to the fans.
Yeah, there was a fan on Facebook, I think it was Vic, I forget the name, sorry. I think it was Vic Trevone, and he wanted to know what was in the blood. What did you use for blood?
Well, they called it a viscous fluid, but it was, I mean, it just came down, you know, you're not going to get out there, you know. I was weird enough back in the day to come out there with blood, you know, but I don't think that with all the ocean and all that with the flu, but it was just stage blood, actually. Been that zesty man, really nice mixture, had fresh vampire breath every match.
Well, excellent. And I know you're on set right now, so we can't keep you a long time, but I do want to know, why was Michael Hayes involved in the angle, and did you think that worked?
Well, I don't know how Michael Hayes got in there. I guess he considered me, Christian, and Edge kind of like the new version of the Freebirds.
Uh-huh.
He wanted to get in there and run off the Hardys. He's a big Hardy Boys fan, and then he got in there, and I honestly can't explain how it works. I can tell you I've never been hit harder in my life by the old Beer Wolf himself, Michael Hayes.
He always did throw. He had a really good he used to do little punches. Very good.
Yeah. But it was a great time, and it was an honor. I was a Freebird fan, so to work with Michael Hayes and have him, you know, looking over your character and with the Hardys, and then, you know, switching up. And then I went with the Hardys briefly. I don't. It was all cool, man. And you know, it was awesome to be a part of that, and just awesome, you know, that I did finally get my run in the Attitude Era. So had an awesome time for pro wrestling, and I tell you, can't be blessed enough.
Yeah.
The night.
It was very memorable, and I still think it's one of the best entrances ever. And I mean, I'd like to have you back sometime, maybe for a longer interview. I know you don't have a lot of time right now.
Yeah, man, I'm sorry. I'm just on the set here to shoot the pilot out here. One of the other things to do in between wrestling and stuff is out here. I'm out here actually on set with Kiazarni, Sin Bodhi. I don't know if you remember him.
Yes, I do, yeah.
Yeah, me and him right here, we're playing, some type of alien soldier guarding over people and killing people. So
awesome.
So look forward to Star Trek Renegades. It's a pilot. It's trying to shoot in the series, spin off the Star Trek.
Yeah, I just met him at Mad Monster Party not too long ago, and he's an awesome artist that people don't realize.
Oh, yeah. He's a cool guy. He's doing tattoos now, and he keeps trying to get me to come out to Vegas to get tattoos, but I think I'm saving myself up for Sinner and Saints this weekend. You know?
Excellent. Well, again, Rock and Shock this weekend. There's a huge guest lineup. We already said Robert Englund. Kane Hodder's going to be there. So everyone check out rockandshock.com. It's really I'll be there. Well,
yeah, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
But hey, man, I do got to get back in here and bust out of this wardrobe, get some other stuff done. And I'm sorry to cut this short and everything. But I'm glad I got to talk to you. I'm looking forward to meeting you guys out there. Everybody coming out to the Rock and Shock, and just have a blast, man. Maybe we'll go see some out there. Just have a great time, man.
All right, excellent. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Hey, thank you. And sorry about cutting short. You know,
no problem.
But thanks for having me, guys. Keep banging and banging, bro.
Thanks.
This is former WWE superstar, ECW superstar Kevin Thorne, now known as Seventh Thorne, and you are listening to InYourHeadOnline.com. You want wrestling? You will find it here. Listen up, bitches.
All right, and we're back once again. Here is the Nature Boy. Oh, man! All right.
You don't have anything to follow up after you go, oh, man.
Well, I was reading here because someone had a question about the Nature Boy, but it's the Nature Boy, Jackie Jones. Mm-hmm. I'm here with the Enforcer, the one-inch biceps, the Lost Anderson.
The last one.
The last Anderson. How's that for a new nickname, the last Anderson?
Oh, but you know, there'll be a billion other ones.
Yeah,
just
but
keep bringing them
they
in.
They won't be real.
That's right. I'm the last one.
Final straw.
There's Mr. Anderson.
Nah, fuck.
Is he part of the Anderson crew?
No.
He doesn't have a beard. He's not barrel-chested. He's just kind of this skinny dude.
He's gonna go down. You know what? I actually I like him. He's got charisma and he's got stuff going for him. But he's gonna go down, I think, as one of the biggest busts in wrestling history.
He was pretty big at one point. I remember way back when he was on the WWE. He was riding high, but came to TNA. He was riding high for a little while, but much like everything in TNA, you just get stuck in that quicksand. And you just go, you just try to get yourself out, but it doesn't work.
Mm-mm.
It's all just a pit of shit.
We got some questions here. I'm going to put this out there, Incher.
Ask the questions and
ask,
put it out
ask,
there.
Ask anything tonight. Anything. I don't care what it is. And in your head, we'll answer it. No holds barred. Anything you ask, anything you want to know, what about Incher, about me, about the history of In Your Head, whatever it is, about wrestling, about whatever, and we will answer it. What do you think about that?
It sounds like good times.
All right. Well, some asshole here in the chat room, let's see. TMC says, here's a question, Jack, as the new Nature Boy. Have you ever had the urge during a Q&A you hosted to hijack the show? Fuck you, TMC, the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. First of all, he was not hosting that Q&A, was he? No, he was not. He was one of the guests on the Q&A, and he didn't hijack it. He was the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. And he went out there, and he was the Nature Boy. Now, is some jackass like Dolph Ziggler and some jumping bean like Rey Mysterio, if they don't have the charisma, if they don't have the it factor to overshadow, to stand in the light of the Nature Boy, that is their problem. That is not the Nature Boy's problem. The Nature Boy was there, and he shined. And so did Paul Heyman, and so did Mick Foley, and then so did Steve Austin. Now, some other guy, you know what? Even Daniel Bryan got a nice little one-liner in there. Ah, the rest of them did not. That is their fault, not the Nature Boy. The Nature Boy went out there, and he made that Q&A panel. If he wasn't on there, nobody would be talking about today. No one would care. The video game company would have put it out there. No one would have watched it, and no one would ever talk about it. But the Nature Boy went out there, and he did his job. He's the Nature Boy.
There you go.
And he should be praised and not ridiculed and reprimanded. They should go up there and they should praise him. They should bow down to the Nature Boy. They should kiss the man's feet and say, "You are the Nature Boy! You are the god of professional wrestling, and all you jackasses here in the locker room, Wade Barrett, Axl Rose, Fandango, the Puerto Rican luchador Mexican bullfighting crew. Oh, you sons of bitches back there. Look to him. That is what you should strive to be. Dolph Ziggler, you're out there taking bumps on the top of your head. Big freaking deal. Big whoop to do. You go out there and try to be Ric Flair. Now you will get somewhere."
There you go.
That's what they should have done.
That's what they should have done. But Jim Ross, he was out there, he was trying to shine, and he just ended up losing his job for it. They said, "Get out of here, Ross."
That's because the state of wrestling is the total fagdom. It's the height of fagdom in the world of professional wrestling. I've seen it all, Incher. I've seen the dying days of the AWA when they're fighting over Turkey.
Hmm.
I saw Herb Abrams, UWF, he's running around on cocaine. I've seen it all. I've seen Crockett NWA. I saw WCW. I've seen ECW rise and fall. I've seen it all. I've seen the Attitude Era. I saw the dark days. I saw the dark days when Doink the Clown was there and Duke the Dumpster Drosy. I've seen the ups. I've seen the downs. I've seen the rises. I've seen the falls. But never, never have I seen an era of professional wrestling that was more pussified than right now in 2013.
There you go. It makes it hard to watch when you know that there's just a bunch of pussies out there.
Bunch of pussies.
And I say it to each and every one of their faces.
I would too, pussies.
That's what you do when you're over the like guardrail. You go pussy, and then they look at you, and then you kind of like duck. That's what you need to do.
Maria Canellis. Maria Canellis with her thesaurus. She's gonna be at Rock and Shock. I'm gonna walk right up to her and call her fag. Ban me from Facebook now.
I'm fuck Facebook. I'm in your face. What do you do when the internet icon attacks?
MXT wants to know who is the worst in your head guest of all time.
Oh, the worst in your head guess of all time. I mean, we've kind of said it before. I mean, there's not much love for the white trash Johnny Webb. Right? That's him, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. So, yeah, not so hot. We've had some other ones that ain't been so hot, but we're not going to call them out because that man has won himself a Eddie. He has won himself the award of worst worst guess in the history
mm-hmm.
of In Your Head.
Yep. Terrible. And I was like, why should they go to this show you promote? And he's like, I don't know, why should they? Mm-hmm. What a fucking idiot.
Yep.
White trash. And people ask me, they're like, they asked me when I was doing the PWI interview, which will be out in Pro Wrestling Illustrated next month. Who is the worst guest? Who is the most unprofessional? And I said, white trash, Johnny Webb. And the guy's like, who? And I said, exactly.
Didn't even know who he was.
No, they're interviewing us. They're interviewing Jackie Jones and the last Anderson, but they're not interviewing white trash Johnny Webb. They don't even know who he is. We are more famous in the world of wrestling, more relevant than this guy.
There you go. I say that a lot now. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I think I just say that when I don't know what to say. But,
exactly.
Yeah, there's your answer. Hope it's suitable for you.
Mm-hmm. MXT, is there plans for Jackie Jones' presidential run in 2016? Can I be any worse than the last two presidents we've had? No! Look at the country! It's fucking shit.
The government shut down.
It's gone to hell!
Oh, well. What can you do?
Sorry, what were you saying?
I was just saying, what can you do? Let's talk about some wrestling. Who wants to see a powerbomb?
Rattlehead wants to know what happened to Barbie.
What happened to Barbie? Basically, he crapped out. He didn't want to do it anymore, and we didn't hear anything from him. He didn't show up. He was going through some depressing times, I guess, but as far as we know, that's all we know.
He was always the pink-loving fag boy, as far as I was concerned, and he took the fag route out. He's like, do I tell these guys I've known for years that, you know what, I'm not doing this anymore, I'm not going to, no! He just got the willy. Did he write? Did he email? Nothing. Nada! About a hamahina, nothing! So he's gone. I thought maybe he died. I was going to call his house. And then eventually one day, like a year or two later, he's like, oh, you know, something happened. So he's not dead. He is not dead. He's still alive.
I could just imagine you calling his house and, like, his mom answers and you're like, is he dead? What happened to him?
Uh-huh.
Oh, man. She's just like, who is this chap? It'd be good times. But, yeah, that's basically what happened.
Mm-hmm. Sir Dobbs wants to know, who's the biggest waste of space on the chat room?
Biggest waste of space in the
chat room. I've been hashtagging banning a lot of them. Fuck these people. You know what? I've been hashtagging banning people, but if you're in the chat room now, or if you're in the presence of the 1-inch biceps and Jackie Jones in the chat room or Facebook, you know what? Give yourself an old Barry Horowitz pat on the back, to steal a phrase from Intro, because you know what? You're okay.
Mm-hmm.
You're doing all right. We approve of you. Big thumbs up.
Exactly. So I can't say anybody's a big waste in the chat room right now.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Well, I just kicked out Dwayne, so yep, he was, but he's gone now.
What'd you kick him out for?
Hashtag banned!
What'd you kick him out for?
Because he said he doesn't like me on the show, so hashtag banned! You're out!
Oh.
You question me, you question the intro, or if you just annoy me in any way or any form, hashtag banned! And well, you can see over on Facebook now, Inchman Juju, she bought one of the hashtag band shirts, which you can get off our Cafe Press store.
Mm-hmm.
Right there on her big old titties, you can see hashtag band right across.
What exactly is the hashtag band like? Is
hashtag band! It's going to friggin' trend all over the Twitter land. Tweeting. People are tweeting. It's all week. Hashtag banned.
Well, anyhow.
Juju wants to know, out of the current WWE roster, who do you think has the smallest penis?
Is that, is that one we shouldn't answer?
Pecker Trekker McGee. We need, you know what? If, you know what? You know Davey Meltzer, Davey Boy Meltzer. He does this thing called the Wrestling Observer.
Big cock, yeah.
And, well, I don't. I wasn't going there.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You just got stooges in the locker room. And they're like, oh my God, I'm going to go call Davey Meltzer and tell him, oh my God, the locker room is an uproar. They're we're very sad. I'm going to go call Davey Meltzer. So that's what they do. They're a bunch of stooges. They don't get paid.
Shouldn't we love these stooges, though? Because it does give us some information.
What I'm saying is, if you're in the WWE locker room and you want to start stooging, but you're like, the dirt I have isn't impressing Davey Boy Meltzer, but you know what? You could be the pecker checker for In Your Head. You call us up. We'll disguise your voice. You can send emails under a fake name and let us know who's packing the heat and who's got a shriveled up little dong in the shower.
I can hear it now. He calls and he's like, "You know, you guys, there's little bull guy who comes out with the matadoras.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't believe it, but big cock, big one."
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, thank you, mystery person. Thank you for being our mystery pecker checker. To answer the question, I can't even fathom, like, who would have a small penis in that company. Like, I don't know. I just have to pick somebody at random, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Hmm.
Gold Dust.
Poor Gold Dust. Well, I'm going to say Dusty Rhodes, then.
Really?
Yeah, he must have his father's genetics. So there you go.
Mm-hmm. You think that old man's got a little shriveled up penis?
I mean, there has to be a reason why he always goes out there and just inflates his ego every time he's on the microphone. So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's probably because
he goes back and he looks into the mirror and he's like, my God, would you look at that shriveled up little penis? I need to go out there and tell the WWE universe how great I am.
Mm-hmm. Well, we do have a caller here. He hung up.
Ah, you caller. Well, let's ban the caller.
It was Song Man. Fucking Song Man.
What the hell, Song Man? We're about
song
to
bag.
Talk to you.
He heard penis, and you know what? He's been all over Facebook saying that I make him gay.
I don't think it's possible to make anybody gay, so maybe it's just, you know.
I think what it is, he hears a voice, he's watching all this women's wrestling, and he's got nothing going on down there. Not even like a little ping. There's nothing. He's just like a Ken doll. He's all smooth, got no genitalia. Then he hears In Your Head enter, and he gets a little life. He's like, ooh, I think there's something in my shorts. And so then he's like, they must be making me gay. They must be giving me the gay disease. So that's what I think. I think Song Man, he hears us. He gets a little life in his nether regions, and he just like, oh my God, I'm becoming gay.
Now write a song about us making you gay, Song Man, and call in and sing it for us.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Call in, say, ding dong, I'm the king of dong. Song Man making me gay on the In Your Head all day. freaking Song Man. Why you gotta hang up? Hashtag banned from the Hall of Fame. How's that, Jack?
I said that last week. I'm going to hashtag ban him from life.
You can't do that. That's like against the law, I'd say. You'd have to go to some pretty extreme measures. And I don't want to see you going there.
Favorite, my number one favorite that I love to death.
He does put that on everything. It's pretty awesome.
Yes, it is. All right. So, let's talk about some wrestling.
Mm-hmm. We got another question in the chat room here.
What's this? What is it?
Jack and Incher will end your head last for another 15 years or more.
Yes, I would say yes!
Another 15 years.
It doesn't even last in one 15 years, but will last another? Yes.
We'll just leave the website up and just say, there you go, it's lasting.
The gay community! Boom! It was like D. Snyder, I think. I think it was somebody. He said somebody. No, I think it was Snoop Dogg. It was Stolen by Eargasm line.
Uh-oh. Snoop Dogg? Snoop Lion?
Yeah. Fucking Snoop Dogg.
Oh, my goodness. Eargasm. Well, you know, you put it out there, anybody can swipe it. So imitation is the highest form of flattery.
Well, I said we'd answer anything here. There's some more here on Facebook, and we'll get back to them. Then we're going to go to some wrestling. But Zinski Yam, he wants to know, how big are your balls?
Let's see. The left one droops down a little bit more than the right, just slightly. But
do you like tug on it, or do you put like a weight on it so it lower? You could put. You should tie one to even out.
It's all natural, so I might take your advice there to tie a weight on the other one, and so it'll even itself out. But why the hell should I care how my balls hang? That's how they hang. The size, I'd say they're average size. Yeah, average size balls. What about you, Jack?
Let's see here. Well, we do have a caller.
Hello.
What's going on? They hung up.
What's the deal with the callers tonight? If you're going to call in, you got to stay on the line and speak to us because we like to be spoken to.
That's right. I got fucked. You know what? Not literally. But figuratively, I've got fucking huge brass balls, big balloons. It takes big balloons to call yourself the Nature Boy to come on here and say, well, answer anything. So figuratively, I got huge fucking balls. But I think the size of your actual testicles is very overrated. You really don't want big ass fucking balls. They're going to get in the way. You're going to hit them on fucking stuff. You're going to sit on them. And it'll be bad times. So you don't want all you people bragging about the actual size of your testicles. Who gives a fuck? You don't want big testicles.
Mm-hmm. There was a man on the Howard Stern show, and he had himself a medical issue. And he had, like, I think his balls was like 100 pounds.
Damn. See, but yeah, so he's got to walk around like a fucking wheelbarrow.
He had a milk cart, and he had to put his balls in that and walk around with it. Do you want that in your everyday life? No, sir.
Elephantitis of the balls.
Don't want it. He had to have like a surgery that was like more than $1 million just to fix his balls.
Man. Now, how'd he pay for that?
He had to raise money for it. He was on there.
How does a man with like the balls the size of like a child, like how does he raise money?
He had to go to various media networks and try to say, hey, let's fix my balls.
Hey, couldn't he just cut them off?
I don't know, but we should have had a balls aid. Get some bands together. Ron Hex could have been the leader of it.
Yeah, when I think balls, I think Ron Hex.
Ron Hex, balls aid. Get fix this man's balls.
Exactly. Vic Cheroni wants to know, any thoughts on the Extreme Rising relaunch? Extreme Rising is back, Incher, because everyone was demanding it.
Mm-hmm. Relaunched Extreme Rising. Which one was that? Was that the one we got a lot of interviews from?
Yeah. It was good. I mean, honestly, I liked the first one had a lot of problems, but I thought it improved each time. So it's too bad it's got so much negative, you know, drama around it. But I like just about everyone involved in it, so mm-hmm. I'm looking forward to it.
If you tune into the product and you like what you see, mm-hmm. you know, what do you care if like all the wrestlers didn't get paid? You should just like it and just go on the internet and say, it's good stuff. And get all the other fans up in arms about watching it, and then there'll be another promotion. And that's good for the boys, unless they never get paid, which that's bad. But not saying that they didn't pay, because I think they didn't have problems with that. But.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well,
exactly.
Amanda wants to know thoughts on the new Carrie. I think she has the wrong show, but I actually think the remake of Carrie looks very good. But it's very odd because in the 2-minute trailer, they show in the entire film.
Mm-hmm. It does kind of flash around and show a lot of clips from the movie.
Show the entire thing. They even show the blood. They show the blood pouring on her head, and then her kicking ass. Mm-hmm. They show the entire movie. The whole character arc.
Isn't Julianne Moore, isn't she like the mother in that?
Yes!
Yeah, I bet she would do a pretty good job.
She does, she looks good.
Good, good.
Mm-hmm. Alright, Sandman, he says, he feels like a freak because he asked a real wrestling question. No, you're a good man, Sandman. You're a good dude, we like you, we like this guy's going places.
Thank you, sir. God bless you.
Mm-hmm. So, Inchman... Wrestling.
Wrestling. What is going down in the world of wrestling?
It's Raw.
My friend, we had ourselves a Monday Night Raw, much like every other week of wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a lot of things that happened on Monday Night Raw. They have set up once again for a Paul Heyman CM Punk match with Ryback. Are you wanting to see CM Punk beat up on Paul Heyman anymore?
No.
I don't either. They're in the Hell in the Cell this time, though. So he's fighting Ryback to get his chance at Paul Heyman. Mm. Your thoughts?
Now, I'm a big Paul Heyman fan. CM Punk's starting to annoy me.
Mm-hmm.
Starting to get pretty annoying. I'm the best in the world. And I don't understand. I don't understand why they would... Have Punk win the first match and then do a rematch himself. I mean, why? It's dumb. I mean, Punk had all the momentum. He already beat Axis Schultz like 50 times. And then they bring in Neil Ryback, who's this big guy who lost a million times on pay-per-view for unknown reason. But anyway, he had like this newfound... you know, thing going on with him because he's with Paul Heyman. So you think he beats Punk's ass, beats him, pins him, then like, well, I want my rematch, and I want it in the Hell in the Cell. But no, they don't do that. They don't do that. He's already beaten Ryback.
Yes.
So now it's like Ryback has to have a guy. It's not good booking. There's not good booking in WWE.
CM Punk's just getting kind of stale, if you ask me. It's just like, how long has he been in this angle?
Yeah, it would be all right, like, if they would bring in new guys for him to keep beating, or the guys would beat him once in a while, then he's got to beat him. But it's just constantly, he wins. The only person he lost to was Brock, which is cool. But Brock's gone. He's not even there. Mm-hmm. So he just beats these guys. Beats him, beats him, beats him. Axel, I can see. Because, I mean, I would just give up on him. He's nothing.
He lost the match that put Paul Heyman into this, you know, competition. So maybe Paul Heyman is done with Curtis Axel.
I don't know.
Ah, yeah. Not
he's still around.
He is. You just want him fired, ousted from the company, be gone
yes.
with you, sir?
Yep. Now, he can be around, but he should just be a guy. He should be...
Should be the in-your-head secret pecker checker.
Yes, he should be this pecker checker of in-your-head. You can be a stooge.
Mm-hmm.
All right, speaking of stooges, we got Songman. Are you actually there this time? What the fuck? He calls in and hangs up. I'm calling him.
Call him back.
Yeah, we're calling him back.
Every time he calls in, we say Pecker.
No, I'm just calling him up. See, we're getting the bottom of this. You can't just call it in your head and just hang up over and over. Who the hell do you think he is? Songman? Yeah, boy.
I'm here.
What the hell are you doing calling in and hanging up?
I didn't even hear anything. Something was wrong.
You hear something now, do you, kid?
I hear you now.
All right. So what's on your mind, boy?
I was just waiting for the Gangrel interview.
He was
on. Show up.
He was already on.
He was?
Missed it. Yep.
Oh, damn it.
The short interview. He had to go back to filming his Star
Trek.
He was on the
set of a film, so he didn't have a lot of time.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like Gangrel. Very, very cool. Mm-hmm. What were you going to ask him?
I was going to ask him, like, most memorable pay-per-view moment of his time out of all the pay-per-views he's been on through the years in WWE
mm-hmm.
and teaming with Damian Dragon in the day.
Mm-hmm. Who?
Damian Dragon, who I'm on the air with every week.
Who?
Damian Dragon.
Oh, God, here we go again.
Who the hell is Damian Dragon?
Damian
Dragon?
He's a pro wrestler. Yeah, he's a pro wrestler, Jack. Jeez.
Pro wrestler.
Oh God,
Damian Dragon. Now, what did this guy ever do? Who did he ever beat?
He's been with a lot of guys I haven't known this because he's in the Indies, but I'm on the air with him every week, and I'm on with him Friday.
Who gives a fuck?
Oh, here we go again. So, can I just say, by the way, you're still in the list so far, Jackie, and so are you, Incha.
What sort of list am I on now?
The worst moments of 2013.
What is your problem? You call into this show, you're like, I'm going to take up time and call into this show. We let you on here. We don't have to let you on here. We let you on here. I put you in the Hall of Fame. I do. And all you talk about is I'm on the air with Damian Dragon. I'm calling in because you are the worst of the year. What the hell kind of ungrateful piece of shit are you? Show some respect.
Maybe instead of that.
Bow down to Jack of Jones. Bow down to one of his biceps. I want you to thank us for all the entertainment we've given you. Not all this bullshit. Calling in and saying we're the worst of the year. What the hell kind of fan are you?
I know, I'm the worst of the decade.
I think you know what moment that is for yours, Incha. Nobody gives a shit about the baby.
John, let me put this in perspective, Incha.
Mm-hmm.
He heard you say that. And for years, I mean, that's stuck in his mind. He's got, like, you up on a dartboard. He's throwing darts at you.
Yeah, I can see him, like, having flashbacks when he's out eating his favorite fries down at the Five Guys Burger. And he's like, Inch said, nobody cares about the baby. And then he falls over and he starts, like, convulsing on the floor in the Five Guy Burger. And he starts singing songs about Inch hating the baby. And it's just a whole scene right there in the Five Guys Burgers. But I'm going to tell you, John the Song Man, I'm going to tell you this. I didn't mean it literally. I just said nobody really cared about it.
I mean it literally. Who cares? Unless you like your
name
family.
And I need to go to the wishing well to ring the bell to let everyone know that I'm well and that I'm going in the cell to send that baby to hell because I can't. That's the problem. And that's actually going to be part of Gangrel's song, because what good
So
Gangrel?
I'm the worst human being of the year, and you're writing songs about me sending babies to hell. What the hell's with you, song man? What is your deal?
And he loves Chris Benoit, who actually did murder a child.
I know! And he gets forgiven because he can throw a good suplex.
Why am I? What moment am I on for worst moment? I think I've been a pretty stand-up individual.
Jackie Jones turning the song man gay like him.
I'm turning gay.
Well, good work there, Jack.
So when you hear my voice, you just like pop a boner.
Jackie Jones is home alone with his cell phone.
I never figured that guy would be, you know. Are you home alone with your cell phone right now, Jack?
Oh, my name is Jackie Jones. Let me show you how I blow my nose. I blow it like a hose.
Who's OIB's son, and why does he keep getting kicked from the chat room?
I don't know.
I think I'd like to hear what my boy has to say.
All right, song man. Well, this has been a call. This has been a call. We will talk to you soon, Mr. Songman.
Thank you. Have a great week.
You are the worst person in the history of the world. Have a good week.
Oh, man. I always like when he's like, this is my favorite food right here. And it's always, I always read about what restaurant it is.
Yeah, and it's always like a chicken wing.
Well, there's nothing wrong with having a love for a chicken wing.
He had a post, and I swear this is true. I'm not making this up. It was like a finger sandwich with, like, tuna salad in it. I was like, come on, that's his favorite meal? A tuna sandwich? And, like, a hot dog roll?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, like, I could see you liking it, but your favorite? I mean, I don't know.
That's not picture-worthy.
No.
Taking a picture of a tuna sandwich and a hot dog roll, that is not picture-worthy. Sorry. Just not.
The fruit of my uneven balls keeps getting kicked from the chat room.
720 area code, who are you?
Scott.
Who is this?
Scott.
Scott, what's up?
Not a whole lot. I just want to ask that Gangrel, when he first heard about, you know, Edge and Christian coming in, how he talked about, you know, starting up the group.
So, what, Gangrel, when you first heard Edge or Chris are coming in, what'd you think?
Just let him down easy.
Sorry, Gangrel's already off, so you already missed him. He's on about an hour ago.
Sorry, buddy.
Yeah. He just totally fucking it up.
Well, man. That's all I can say about that. Professional wrestling this week. Let's see. What else happened?
You know what? I thought Raw was really boring, but I'll say this. The end was great. It was, I have some bones to pick with it, but great match, Ashiel losing the belts to the Rhodes brothers.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was a great moment. Dustin and Cody's really been on fire lately. They deserve that. And it was very cool also to see the tag champions main event Raw. My only issue was I really think the Shield had this long run. The Road's been on fire. They're baby faces. I think they should have won on their own without Big Show coming in and punching the Shield. That took it down a little bit to me.
Yeah.
It was still a very cool moment that they won the titles.
It went along with the storyline, but I think you would have liked to seen it better if they just won. Right. Big Show just punching him out. Mm-hmm. But I did like Triple H running out to the ring, and he was all pissed. He was like, what the hell? And he looked legitimately pissed. So it's like, it's high time that somebody got something up on Triple H. Because it just seemed like, you know, he's taking the belt away from Bryan every time he gets it. And it's just like, well, it's good to see that, like, somebody's finally getting something on him.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But, yeah, it was a good moment. That was a good match. It was pretty awesome. Just, they were all over the place, man. And, God, Dustin, he jumped from the to the outside. I mean, man, you know he's getting up there. That couldn't have felt good. He's in good shape, too.
Mm-hmm. That's probably the best shape he's been in ever, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's making it all on this run. So it's probably some of the best stuff that's on Raw. So I'm glad he's getting this opportunity.
Mm-hmm. I have some big news. Magnus tweeted that he and Mickey James are no longer an item incher.
Oh, man. Well, I feel bad for you, Magnus. I'm sorry, my friend. He moved on. He's going on to some other dame.
Mm-hmm.
Some other sassy gal out there. She's probably dancing the Charleston with a long beaded necklace around her neck.
Mm-hmm.
But he has to move on.
Mm-hmm.
Mickey James, I'm sure she'll pick her up a fella.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody with a pick-em-up truck. Somebody who says, yee-haw.
Mm-hmm. I did want to mention, too, Jim Ross, good old JR, he put out a new blog, and he wasn't kissing ass for once. He actually was saying what he believes. And I was saying,
these motherfuckers fired me. I got to say what I really feel. Mm-hmm.
Everything he said was on the money. He said that parody booking, where it's like this guy wins, this guy loses, back and forth, not to get anyone over.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, you can't reinvent the booking wheel. There's like, you know, there's certain things of storytelling that will always be. And he's right. People, to build a star, one guy's got to win a bunch of matches.
It's like if Stone Cold Steve Austin was riding high. He was beating everybody's ass coming out there, winning all his matches. Yes, and then, just, I don't know, Axel Schultz comes along and beats him just when it seemed right.
No, that's right. To build a star, they've got to beat people. That's just the way it is. And any jackass out there thinks, you know, wins and losses don't mean anything. You're just buying into WWE's bullshit.
And you're the worst person of the year.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Why do you hate babies? Why do you want all babies to die?
I don't know why you make him gay, though. But I don't know. He's just drawing this conclusion. But yeah. Jim Ross, he's finally not kissing ass now that he's out on his ass, unemployed. Mm-hmm. I guess it makes sense, though. I mean, you can't talk shit about him while you're working there, but...
Yeah.
I mean, he could have stood up for himself every now and then, but...
I was watching the, I think it was, I have a few of these that I should review on the show, but it was Timeline 94 with X-Pac. Sean Waltman.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about Jim Ross, and he was just saying how, like, Vince just loved to, like, just belittle the man all the time. And he said, like, they were sitting somewhere backstage, and Jim Ross was just sitting there reading a book, and Vince McMahon was talking, and he's like, sometimes, pal, you just have to learn to like the taste of shit. And he said, ain't that right, Jim? And he looked over at Ross and, like, just... gave him like a glare, like he just meant nothing, and Jim just looked up and nodded and felt worthless. Like, what is wrong with these people?
Yeah, it's like he's your employee. I mean, how can you treat people like that?
And he said the same thing they treated Howard Finkel the same way.
Man. I wish I was worth that much money, where I could just go around and treat everybody like trash.
What that? Like, no, I just see.
I pay you, and I can just treat you like you're just a piece of shit, and you're gonna love it.
Is that what you would do? I mean, I wouldn't. I would treat people like people.
You honestly think that's what I would do?
Yes.
I'm just trying to be funny, Jack.
I think that. Well, I think it's true.
You think it's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm. I think it's true. I guess they sent me a bunch. Let's see. Let's go over them real quick. Timeline 94 Xbox, Ron Waltman. That was very good. I always like Waltman. He's always very honest. You know, and that was a big year. It's 94. You had a, I think it was a year Lawler was banging some kid. And
is that all you recall from 94? That was the year when Lawler was banging some kid.
It was the year I graduated. It was the year Luger, they went with Bret Hart instead of Luger. There's a lot of stuff going on. It was very good, so definitely check that out. What else? I'll do it better. I should write some notes. But I will say, overall, all of the recent kayfabe commentaries issues have been very good. I will say I was not... There's one of them I'm not a big fan of, and that is Breaking Kayfabe with Marty Jannetty. And I think a lot of people will find it interesting, but really, I'll be honest, I think he was taken advantage of during the... I didn't like it. I didn't... really put me off, I have to say. It was... he was clearly on something. He's messed up. He's fucked up. And he's talking about some really personal things about being molested and having sex with family members at a very young age, 5 and 12. And at the same time, he's also, I wouldn't talk about this unless it was already on this DVD it was put out. And while he's saying this too, he's also saying don't tell anybody. So he doesn't want these stories told, and I understand he's being paid to be on to do a DVD, but at the same time, he's clearly messed up, and he doesn't want people knowing these stories, and yet they're on there. And it really, I'll be honest, that's really sit wrong with me. I didn't like that. But the other ones were very well done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean... I'd find it hard to be like, well, I know this guy's like not in his right mind right now, and he's telling me all this stuff. I'd probably wouldn't want to release that. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it'd be like, I don't know if I should be profiting off of this, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, I know he's telling some pretty outrageous stuff, but, man. I know it's not good that he showed up in that condition, but they kind of encourage it sometimes. It's like... You get what you get, you know? I mean, sometimes you're going to get some a depressed human being. Or sometimes you're going to get, like, you know, the outrageous, like, hijinks of the Iron Sheik. Who can't ever be depressing. He just comes in there and he's just like, I'm all broken, washed up. Bye, y'all. He took my cocaine.
That's not depressing at all.
He comes in there and he goes, ah, but I yell, he took my cocaine. And you're like, yeah, that's right, Sheik. That's funny. Mm-hmm. I don't know. We're strange individuals. We're enjoying this kind of stuff. But who knows?
See, Clinton has a good one here because this was talked about on F4W and I mentioned on the Facebook page. Was who would mean more at WrestleMania 30, The Rock or The Hulkster? And I'm going to be I think WrestleMania 30, Hulk Hogan, one last match, his retirement match, would mean more than another Rock match at WrestleMania 30. He's been off WWE TV for like 8 years. It's WrestleMania 30. You know, it's a milestone. It would his final match at WrestleMania hasn't been on there for so long. Rock's been there the last 4 years. Hasn't really necessarily set the roof on fire, put place on fire. I understand the match will probably not be very good. That doesn't matter. The story, the emotion, to me, Hulk Hogan at WrestleMania 30, one last match, would be a bigger deal than another Rock match.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Like, whenever somebody's been out as long as he has, it would bring a lot of people back to the... You know, wanting to watch WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm. Who would he wrestle? Who could you see Hogan wrestling and it being a big deal and being something that was watchable?
Hulk Hogan, who could he wrestle and it would be a big... has he wrestled Cena?
No.
That might be the go-to. Just John Cena, Hulk Hogan.
I think so, too.
That would be pretty cool to see, I think.
Or if you can bring back Austin, if Austin would come back. But I think their styles would really mesh, Austin and Hogan. Plus, I think Hogan would get booed. And I don't think you want Hogan getting booed in his comeback match. So, in his final match. So I'm sure they would be behind Hogan in a Hogan-Cena match. So I really do think Hogan-Cena. Plus, Cena's really the Hogan of this era. So I think that would be the way to go.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Bobatex Rognus wants to know, if TNA had really re-signed the Hulkster, if they really re-signed the Hulkster, what can they do to justify it? Teach other and everyone else who really gives a fuck. I think the thing is, they're trying to sell the company, and the fact that you have Hulk Hogan in your company means a lot to potential buyers who don't necessarily follow wrestling, but they would know the name Hulk Hogan. So it seems like, you know, you can't go in there and say, we have Austin Aries. And like someone trying to buy it or a TV company be like, ooh, okay, who the fuck's that? But if you say we got Hulk Hogan, I think any company, they're going to know that name instantly. It's like, well, this must be a big deal company because they have Hulk Hogan. I think that is the value of Hulk Hogan to re-sign him at TNA. Besides that, I don't think he's that much value on TV anymore.
No. Yeah. It seems, and they also said that there were some reports that he said WWE was trying to lowball him.
Yeah.
It's like, how much could they have offered him? And he would consider that a lowball.
Well, they say that TNA offered him more. That, I mean, it's pretty shocking that TNA would be willing to pay Hogan more than the WWE.
And that they actually have it.
Mm-hmm. I totally disagreed here. Hoosier Highway says WWE should save Hogan for after WrestleMania. Well, I totally disagree because Hogan really personifies WrestleMania. WrestleMania wouldn't be WrestleMania without Hulk Hogan. So Hulk Hogan, the biggest, that would be money. That's big, Hogan at WrestleMania. That Hogan at Night of Champions or Hogan at some bullshit pay-per-view. Really, that's kind of lame. But Hogan at WrestleMania, that's big.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Huh. I don't know. And it's like, why is he staying in TNA? I don't know. It's just, I guess because they're paying him more, but...
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. He is just floundering, kind of like you said, on TV. It's just like, what good is he doing there?
Mike Fink wants to know if God is really omnipotent, can he create a rock that is too heavy for himself to lift? It's a catch-22. I think it depends. If he wants to be able to lift the unliftable rock, then he could. If he wants to create the unliftable rock, then he can.
I hope that answer suits you, sir.
Mm-hmm. It's very deep.
Mm-hmm.
Very deep.
Hmm.
Cole Cabana, he might be getting another WWE tryout.
He keeps kicking along, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. It's like, just when you think this guy's done for, he's still out there. Jim Cornette hates him. You don't hear anything from his camp anymore, but somehow he gets in gets the WWE tryout again.
That is.
I wonder.
There. But I'm going to say something about Cornette. I was a huge fan. Jim Cornette, next to Bobby Heenan, probably my favorite manager of all time. No one could touch Heenan, but Cornette, great. I loved him. I still like to hear him in interviews, but I mean, for one thing, I mean, he's got the Russo stuff. Just let it go. I mean, come on. And but I've been listening to a lot.
He's just like, I'll pistol whip the motherfucker if I receive. It's like, God, how can you get that insane about this?
And I've been listening to a lot of stuff where, and he's now his go-to thing is his Colt. And
spinning his arm, skull fuck Colt Commander next time I see.
And I think it was it might have been on Conan's podcast, which I will say is good. I'm not a fan of the Austin podcast, and people can be all mad if they want to, but I'm over the working man kicking ass, drinking beer, working man. Fuck that. But Conan. I think it was Conan's. I don't know. Either way, he was on something. I was listening to it on YouTube. And this was his explanation on why he doesn't like Colt Cabana. And he said, well, people say I used comedy. And he said, well, when I used comedy with the Midnight Express, it was because everything else was serious. So I was in a serious promotion. All the other wrestlers, the whole company was serious, so I used comedy. Then later on, when everything became comedy, I became serious. So he's okay. I'm following. This makes sense. So in his theory, why he doesn't like Colt, he said in his company when he was running Ring of Honor, it was a serious promotion. Everyone was treated as serious wrestlers, and Colt was using comedy, so it didn't fit. Now, how does that make any sense? Because he basically just said Colt was doing the exact same thing he did with the Midnight Express in the 80s, using comedy because everyone else was serious. So it made no sense whatsoever because he said Colt was doing what he did, but yet using it as an example of why it was wrong.
Yeah, it just don't make no sense. It's like, Chewbacca's a Wookiee from Endor. It's kind of like that bit again. Mm. Or was he from Endor? I can't remember.
I don't know. I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
It's a South Park episode.
Oh.
You know, when they're arguing about where Chewbacca's from or something, and Johnny Cochran gets into it.
Well, the Ewoks are from Endor.
Okay.
Chewbacca's from a different... They're different.
Yeah, but it doesn't make sense what Cornette's saying. That's for sure. I don't know. It's just kind of like... He just seems like a guy who's like, it's only right when I do it. Mm-hmm. And, like, if somebody else does it and I don't like it, I'm just going to, say it's just the worst thing ever. I don't know. That's just kind of how he seems like to me.
He hates everything. And now, where is he?
Give him a paycheck and he'll love you.
What's he doing? Where can he work now?
Throw him a few bucks.
Well, who's going to throw him a few bucks? What if he went to Extreme Rising?
I used to hate this shit, but now I love it.
It's the best.
He really has burned some fucking bridges.
Yeah.
he's just stuck on an island now where he's just like, well... Goddamn, I burned all these bridges. It's like, You know he means it, because, he's really doing himself a disservice. Mm. So it's like, he's really holding to his guns. That dumb Hilljack believes it.
He's kind of like in your head. It's like, we burned bridges with Ring of Honor and TNA. And
Ring of Honor was pretty easy to burn, though. It was just like, we barely did anything to them.
It's like, give me the money you owe me. Oh, fuck you.
Who, TNA, we had illegal interviews. That's how we burned that one. So.
People might think that's a bit or something. Like, we just come out here and... But that's real. And I have this is back in the day when people used AIM, AOL Instant Messenger.
Who the fuck do you think you are, buddy? Booking. Who do we book?
Who is the Sinister Minister?
You know who you think you are, booking the Sinister Minister. You're going to jail, asshole.
And he had a real conversation with Greg Price. I mean, I hope he doesn't mind me saying that. And Greg's emailed it to me. It was just, and put this in perspective, the guy from TNA, Ross Foreman, every time I would ask for a guest, it would be to who are you? I have to explain the whole show, who I am, what every time. And after a while, it's like, well, he's got to know by now. I mean, this is stupid. So I just stopped messaging him, and then he would message me, asking if we want a guest. It was very weird. It's just weird. Like, I think he missed, like, the back-and-forth battles between him and I. But anyway, so then we started booking guests without even asking them. And we would have the people on, and they would say beforehand it was the dark-haired one with the giant tits.
Dark-haired one with the giant... Tracy Brooks?
Tracy Brooks. And she was like, oh, Ross said, you know, you've got to make sure to ask him next time. And so we knew that he was not happy. So we booked the Sinister Minister. And so then he starts this big, long conversation with Greg on AIM. And he's like, this was a problem. And he's named by name Neil Jones. He'll act like he doesn't know who I am. But yet he's talking to people using my shoot name. And just talking about all this history, and Greg was like, do you just have this weird vendetta against this radio show? What is the deal? Because he was like, I'm going to let him do it, but because he's already advertised, but it can only be 10 minutes. And at the time, Sinister Minister wasn't even on TNA TV. What the hell do you care if he came on here for 2 hours if you wanted to?
Mm-hmm.
It was very weird.
Strange stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know. Oh, well. Now he's like, isn't he like booking the Gay Hockey League or something like that?
Yeah, he takes photos for Gay Hockey. Gay Hockey!
Gay Hockey. I never knew it existed.
Mm-mm. Do you think they just like blow each other? How do they know they're gay?
I mean, what should it matter? I mean, what their sexual preference is.
Yeah! They're like, I'm not watching this. That guy fucks women.
Are like gay hockey players just not as good as like straight hockey players? Is that the case?
That guy does not suck a cock. I will not watch this. I'm getting up and leaving.
I don't know. I guess they just have to have a gay form of everything. So
you think they just walk on sometimes on the ice? You're like, well, they blow the whistle. And then, like, they're like, bring him out! And they'll bring out, like, just this guy comes out with, like, a big erection. They're like, suck it, just to prove that you're gay.
And the one guy who does it, they're like, we must destroy him!
It's all right. Everything's legit. He's okay now.
There's an invader. Get him out of here.
Yes.
They run him out.
Exactly. Gay hockey. But he got fired from TNA... because he was doing the friggin' baseball cards, which is a whole nother story. That was another thing. Now, I know this was just like some weird power trip from the guy, because he asked me, he's like, do you want to interview Matt Morgan? And I was like, okay. And he's like, oh, it'll be, you know, a half hour, blah, blah, blah. Then it was like, well, you've got to pre-record, it can't be live. I'm like, okay. It's got to be 20 minutes. Okay. It's got to be 15 minutes. Okay, then it was 10 minutes. It's like, gee, why even bother? And then eventually it was 5 minutes, and I couldn't ask about wrestling. It had to only be about baseball cards.
Well, thanks so much. I don't know. I mean, maybe he couldn't sit there and listen to the entire interview because, like, a gay hockey game was on or something. Like, the gay hockey's about to come on.
But then he would email, too. He's like, I told you 10 minutes for this Sinister Minister interview. It is 12 minutes and 39 seconds. I was like, oh, fuck this guy. You just picture him sitting there with, like, a stopwatch. He's like, timing it.
Mm-hmm. Man, freaking Ross Foreman. It's been a long time since we went down that road, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Gay hockey.
Oh, man.
How do you even get started on that?
We were talking about burning bridges with the company.
Oh, well, yeah.
It's another company we burn a bridge with.
Midgets?
How do we piss the midgets off?
Because it was on Facebook when they had Roderick Strong was on one of the episodes. It's not a wrestler. He was at the time Ring of Honor champion, but he was also on the midget wrestling show as like a college kid, like a frat boy, non wrestler who's getting his ass beat up by midgets. And so I went on Facebook and I was like, wow, Ring of Honor must really be proud that their champion is portrayed as a
and he found out the total opposite. They were very livid that Roger Strong got beat up by a midget, and apparently they didn't want anybody to know about it.
No, they did not. And the midget wrestling was pissed, and that was the end of our Meatball, which is another thing, because they said, if you promote this company, we'll get you Hulk Hogan. I was like, okay. Now,
I don't know how many people have dangled that carrot in front of us.
There's a little bit of doubt in my mind, but it's like, okay, well, maybe we'll end up with Brian Knobs. You know, maybe we'll get I don't know. Hell, maybe we'll even get, who else was there? There was some other people. Pat Tanaka. I don't know, but it was Hogan can't do it, but Meatball can. It's like, come on! You can't promise someone Hulk Hogan and give them, and instead give them Meatball.
They're like, well, Hogan says he's got like a lot of media stuff he's got to do, and he's out, and he's signing autographs and whatnot, but I know the next person we can go to, none other than Meatball.
Mm-hmm. That's like if you go to like a restaurant, you're like, I want this T-bone steak, and they bring you out like a can, and they just pull out like a cocktail wiener,
mm-hmm.
just throw it on the plate. Like, well, we're out of T-bones, but here's a cocktail wiener. No, you can't say Hulk Hogan and give you Meatball.
Which is just not right.
No. And I mean Meatball, it was something. He's talking about rats wanting to lick his ass. And,
yeah, he tried. He gave it his best.
That was. I bet I would go on record saying that was the best Meatball interview ever.
Almost definitely.
I challenge any other podcast, any radio, anybody,
mm-hmm.
to show me a better Meatball interview.
Because we have it. It's on the books.
Mm-hmm. I said that about Terry Funk, and I know that's like a bigger claim. I know that's a big claim because Terry Funk's done a lot of great interviews, but I've always stood by that our Terry Funk interviews were the best Terry Funk interviews. I've heard him on other shows, and I didn't think they were as good. I always thought that he was the best on In Your Head, but I'm also saying it for Meatball. Best Meatball interviews in your head.
And if somebody takes us up on this, how are we going to actually, like, resolve it?
I'll send them an In Your Head button if we're proven wrong. we will play them to a panel of judges.
Mm-hmm.
And whoever is picked better, I will accept it, and we will. And the winner, if ours is better, you know, they will have to, they'll have to send us, you know, some cash. Like $500. If by chance there's BDARS in your head button.
There you go. And if they lose, they gotta go join the gay hockey league.
The gay hockey league. And we have to have physical proof that they're gay.
How are we gonna get that? I mean,
they have to blow Meatball.
So this gay hockey fan, he was wanting to blow me because he lost some contest on some podcast.
Exactly.
So that's another good Meatball interview. See, you're only giving him material, but that's after he's lost.
Very true, very true.
Hoosier Highway says, In Your Head had the best Jesse Neal interview ever, and I agree.
I would agree with that as
Thank
well.
Thank you, Hoosier. Thank you. I want Jesse Neal to call back. I miss that
guy. We could just start calling random like indie promoters and bitching at them.
It's like I like Jesse Neal better ever since that happened.
Well, could you like him any less before? Well, you actually were a fan. You were like, I love this Ink Inc.
I do.
This is like
come on.
My generation.
I did not say it was the best. I was kind of just a fan of seeing a tag team with Mohawks. That was it. It's like, it's kind of neat that they're out there wrestling with the full-on Mohawk. You don't see that often.
I saw that Shannon Moore, he's teaming with his old partner again.
His old
Evan
Courageous?
The other one.
Shane Helms?
They weren't even partners. He was on the other team. Asian redneck.
Oh, Jimmy Wang Yang?
Yeah, because they're actually feuding with Ed Gonzalez. Ed Gonzalez and some big jacked up dude, and they're feuding with Shannon Moore and
Ed Gonzalez and some big jacked up dude.
Yeah, just some big like steroid guy.
I don't know. That's not as good as a feud as Jackie Jones versus Ed Gonzalez.
I agree. Jimmy Wang Yang.
That was a hell of a feud. You were just up there doing your, what was that called again? The Three Dicks. Is Ross Foreman a fan of that? Pac Cinema. And he took offense to it, and he said, I'm just going to go up there and body slam that guy. And you said, no, I'm going to body slam you.
Yeah, I turned the tables.
It was a hell of a build.
Mm-hmm. I whooped some ass.
Awesome.
I like Kid Gonzalez. He's a good man. He's a good man.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Inchman. That was a good body slam, too.
It was pretty good. I'll give you credit for a man who has never thrown a body slam in his life before.
What? That was
pretty solid.
I've thrown before.
Well, Ed sold it pretty well, too, so he made you.
I fucking just... that was hard. That was hard way. Just picked them up all muscle. I'm like friggin' Cesaro. Next time I'm like in the giant swing.
Okay.
On WWE.com right now, they have this thing and it's called the Rings Forgotten Big Men. It's the best big men that throughout time have been forgotten. All right, you want to hear these?
Let's hear it.
Roadblock.
Yeah, I forgot about him, all right.
Mm-hmm.
Who's Roadblock?
He was on Nitro. He was real ugly.
He's real ugly.
He was always on Nitro.
Don't know.
He's real big guy, and he used to do this like backflip like splash. And he was on WCW Saturday Night a lot. Long hair.
It's kinda ringing some bells.
Very big.
Okay.
It's a very bizarre list because, he's basically a job guy. But he was big on local indies by me, whereas Rochester Roadblock. Crusher Jerry Blackwell, which he was actually like a main event guy in the AWA.
Mm-hmm.
So I never thought he's particularly very good because he's very short but fat. But he's, yeah. But he was a good worker. He's a good worker. Loch Ness.
Mm-hmm. I've heard
terrible.
That. Yeah. What exactly did he do?
He was forgotten. He was in the Dungeon of Doom.
Isn't that your favorite faction?
I do like the Dungeon of Doom. I would much rather watch a Dungeon of Doom than anything on WWE right now.
So there you go.
Mm-hmm. Nathan Jones. Come on. Why is he there? Who gives a fuck about Nathan Jones?
Yeah, I mean...
It's a bizarre list.
Yeah.
Just random big guys that you don't care about. Reese.
Now, Reese was cool.
Mm-hmm. I liked him better as a Yeti.
Mm-hmm. He came out and he did something with Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm. Was butt-raping him.
Do you think they set that up beforehand? They're like, just go out there and act like you're... And he's like, yeah, okay, dude.
I don't know. Do you think Hogan would go for that? And he's like, we're going to butt rape you. And not...
No, I think that was maybe a rib or something.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, man. Because that is just the strangest piece of footage you'll ever see. Unless you're watching the gay hockey league.
9-1-1. I mean, that was a good character.
9-1-1. I remember
this,
him. Yeah.
I don't understand the criteria for this. It's like some guys are main event guys. Some guys like had good runs. Some guys are nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Elmer.
That's the hillbilly, right?
Yeah, he's pretty bad. But he did have a very... he got married on, I think it was Saturday Night's Main Event. It was a pretty big deal at the time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Hillbilly Jim was pretty big.
Oh, yeah, Hillbilly Jim, yeah. That's a pretty big name.
The Colossal Kongs, they were bad.
Don't know them.
Hale?
Don't know him, no.
He was just this real big guy with Jimmy Hart.
Hail.
During the dying days of WCW.
The dying days of WCW?
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember him.
I guess not.
Jeez. Man. There's a lot of stuff that I forgot about back then.
I think they're building him up just, you know, for Hogan to beat.
It's like, look at that big son of a bitch over there. We got to bring that guy in and give him a lot of money just so I can pin him.
Exactly. PN News, the Rat Master.
Hell yeah.
That's all of them. What a list.
That is a peculiar list.
Mm-hmm.
We need to just come up with some odd list like that.
Mm-hmm. What will we do?
I got to think of something kind of odd. Like best valet that was not a human.
It's not even wrestling. It's just
no. It's like Matilda, Frankie.
Well, you know what? They actually I have on here. It's odd that you mentioned that. WWE greatest animal mascot.
They beat me to it.
Yeah, they got Damien.
Damien, that was a good one. Where's Frankie? Frankie's got to be on there.
I don't know. There's a lot here. This is so far, it's just all pictures of Damien.
Jeez. Damien's just destroying Matilda and Frankie.
Yeah. Then it's like,
Damien's like the Hulk Hogan of the animal valets.
Undertaker's Raven.
How many times did that make an appearance?
Like once.
Yeah. Undertaker pushed for that. He's like, I love that goddamn Raven. You gotta have that one on the list.
Ricky Steamboat's Komodo Dragon.
That was the stupidest thing ever. It's like, you've got the snake, well, I've got the Komodo Dragon. And he's chasing freaking Jake the Snake around with it. There was, like, no good way to have, like, a Komodo Dragon in the wrestling ring. Like, how do you keep control of that thing? It's like Ricky was struggling with the stupid thing, just trying to hold it.
Even these pictures, it's, like, real heavy and... Frankie's... We do have Frankie.
Hell yeah, it's about time. What number is Frankie?
They're not numbered, they're just...
They didn't want to hurt the animal's feelings.
You got Matilda.
Hell yeah, Matilda. I remember when Bobby Heenan stole Matilda and he was walking around with the invisible Matilda.
Yeah, that was a lot with the Islanders.
Yeah, that was good stuff.
That was good stuff.
That was back when I was watching.
Tori Wilson and her Maltese Chloe...
Tori Wilson is an animal.
she had a little dog.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That's a pretty lame one. George Animal Steals Mine. That's a stuffed animal.
That's not an animal. Is WWE trying to pass off that mine was a living, breathing thing? What are you trying to pull on us, WWE? We're wrestling fans, and we might not be the brightest. but we know that was not a real animal.
Jack Swagger and his soaring eagle.
They're clearly just out of any other animal, aren't they? That was a dude in a suit.
The boogeyman and his worms.
He ate them.
Uh-huh. It's a hell of a mascot.
I'm going to get over with these worms.
And El Torito with the El Los Matadores.
That's another guy in a suit.
I thought it was a real bull.
I didn't get a real bull to flip like that.
They don't even. Bad News Brown had a Harlem sewer rat. They don't have that on there.
Harlem sewer rat?
Yeah, and it was like a possum, but they called it a Harlem sewer rat.
I think I remember that. Was that on WWE?
It was real bad.
I think I saw that. Yeah, that, now that you remind me. I need a gerbil when I come out to the ring.
Up your ass.
Well, preferably not. But if Vince McMahon asks me to, I'll do it. Gotta have a spot in this business. There's nothing I won't do for Vince McMahon. Here's what I want you to do, pal. You gotta come out there and you gotta be the guy who farts. It's like, whatever you want, Vince. They're the biggest marks ever. The wrestlers. He'll do anything for what Vince wants.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just humiliate who I want. I can do it, pal.
There's got to be other. There must have been other animals on.
Jeez, let's see. The Komodo dragon. Other animal. Undertaker's Raven's stretching it pretty bad.
Made one appearance. Now they've got.
I guess you could say like, didn't somebody ride a horse down to the ring or something?
I don't know. I don't know if anyone ever really did. That would be something, but I don't think anyone ever did.
Yeah, they might be too skittish.
I think they tried to with Bret Hart at one point. They wanted to make him a cowboy back in the 80s.
If somebody thinks of an animal in the chat room, let us know. And not a guy in a suit. It's got to be a real animal.
The 20 beards of WWE.
The 20 beards of WWE?
Yes. You want to hear the beard list?
That's a pretty lame list. All right, let's hear it.
Scott Steiner.
Okay.
Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Now, that's a pretty epic beard. I mean, that's very memorable.
Oh, yeah, that was kind of like a keystone for his character there.
Mm-hmm. Let's see here. Bruiser Brody.
Yeah, he had a pretty nice beard.
Mm-hmm. Ted DiBiase.
Yeah, it was a pretty nice beard. I liked Ted's beard. Mm-hmm. Kept it nice and trim.
Dirty Dutch Mantel, also known as Zeb Coulter.
Mm-hmm.
Hillbilly Jim.
Good beard.
Mike Knox.
Yeah, Mike Knox.
Superstar Billy Graham.
He had a beard.
Yeah.
Like, was it just like a
it was kind of like Hogan's beard before Hogan had it. With the yellow.
Hogan copied everything off of him, didn't he?
Yes. Macho Man Randy Savage.
Yeah, he's always a good beard, yep.
Mm-hmm. They get the same beards again. Jimmy Valiant, the Boogie Woogie Man. That's a pretty awesome beard.
Mm-hmm.
Mad Dog, Vachon.
Mm-hmm. I don't know what to say about these people's beards anymore.
Hulk Hogan.
Do continue, though.
Hollywood Hogan.
Captain Lou. I always thought that was fake. Like, it always looked like it was just painted on.
Uh-huh. That's what I liked about it.
Like, it didn't look real whatsoever.
Like, you just did a magic marker. I think that's what they did with Nova in the BWO.
What? That wasn't real?
Captain Lou Albano.
Well, his is more like a goatee, though. I mean, do you consider that a beard?
Beard, yeah, still a beard. Same thing with the
rubber bands.
Mm-hmm. The Wild Samoans. Mick Foley.
When I think Mick Foley, it's not like I think about his beard, but okay.
Gorilla Monsoon.
He had a beard?
I guess. Like when he was a wrestler.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
The Undertaker.
He did have like a kind of like one of those Amish beards.
Yeah, but man, that's not like anything you think about.
No.
They just want to stick Undertaker in all these lists.
Like, Undertaker must really like have them by the balls. Like, you're not putting me on the epic beard list. Where the fuck's my raven? It's like, you had a raven? Yes.
Rick Steiner.
Did you say him already?
No, it was Scott Steiner. Both the Steiners make the list.
So they are men who know how to grow facial hair.
The Berserker.
How long is this fucking thing?
Skinner.
Skinner. You know Raw wasn't that entertaining when we're talking about beards.
That's the top 20 beard list.
Well, that was a good waste of time. Oh, shit. So, can you remember anything that happened on Monday Night Raw?
Daniel Bryan's got a beard.
Hey, he wasn't on the list, was he?
He was not on the list.
Well, that's something you can strive for, Daniel Bryan.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, God. Randy Orton, like, popping in on Brie Bella at the end.
Yeah,
and Daniel Bryan goes running for it. And he gets to the back, and she's just standing there. And then she's like, he's like, where's Randy Orton? Like, she doesn't know where he's at. And then he just pops up from behind. Did she not see him, like, hiding behind the door? I mean, what the hell was that?
I thought he was just going to start raping her or something.
Yeah, it kind of seemed like that. It's like, he's like, and then he, like, goes into her room. And
he's very rapey.
He does look like somebody who would just totally rape somebody.
Do you think he's ever raped any rats or, like, other divas? I know he shits in their bags, but do you think he ever rapes them?
I'm sure he hasn't. I mean, that would get him in trouble. But
Do you think it must happen. I mean, before I go, let's see who's calling in. Hello, who is this?
It's me, Jimmy Jam.
Oh, my God. He's sneaky. He tries to call. He calls in 50 times under his name, then he calls in with an unknown number.
Mm-hmm.
Sneaky. Well, what I was going to ask, Insher, about rape. Now, do you think that's been a common occurrence in wrestling to, like, the divas, but there's, like, an unwritten rule that you just don't, you know, make it public?
They give them the secret handshake, and then it's like, and most importantly, don't ride on the boys when they rape you.
Exactly. I mean, I've never heard, you know, from Moolah, Mae Young, Rock and Robin, Sherry Martel, Medusa, Bull Nakano, the friggin' Ryan Shamrock, Sonny, all these women.
Mm-hmm.
There had to be a few rapes.
Well, I mean, the only one that I think I've ever heard about was like on that Lipsticks and Dynamite. The girl said like the promoter in that company would just, I don't think it was really a rape. He would just kind of force him to have sex with him.
I think that's what rape is.
Well, I mean, like, you know, like you won't, you know, well, I guess
it's kind of like blackmail rape.
kind of like you won't get a good position or something, or you know, if you don't.
Yeah, unless you get this position.
Like, that's the only time I can ever think of, like, something, you know, kind of like rape.
Yeah, I think,
unless
I think
it's like Michael Cole and Heidenreich.
Yeah. There's a lot of man-on-man rape.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
you know, Jason Cessation was rape. But, yeah, I actually think McMahon was accused of rape. And like,
funny, you didn't want us to bring that up. Don't bring that up during the interview. It's like, oh, you don't want us to talk about that?
It is bad. I wouldn't want to talk about if I was raped.
But if you're the rapee?
Well, yeah, I'd be bragging about it.
You would?
Friggin' just raped that guy. That was a hell of a rib.
Yeah.
Went to my old rape rib.
Yeah, I could see you doing that.
Yeah. What's on your mind? Have you ever been raped?
Yes.
You have?
No, no.
Holy shit.
Jesus, Jack, why you gotta ask the bad questions?
Man. By who?
It was a long time ago, I can't remember.
Man, this man, we're getting into dark territory here and in your head.
I think so, Jack. I think so. Sometimes when you ask these open-ended questions and you get a real answer, it can just totally kill the show.
Man.
Congratulations. Right. Well, I'm sorry that happened to you, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Did you hang up?
I'm still here.
Oh. I didn't see your number on the screen here.
Was it bad times?
Yes.
Man. So what happened in the world of wrestling that was not...
You clearly don't want to talk about that. Jeez. Well, I'm sorry, Jimmy Jam. That's very unfortunate, but...
I've been mostly watching stuff on WWE Classics and on the non-wrestling days.
Uh-huh. Yeah, so what would you recommend on Classics?
The Raiders battle between Nitro and Raw.
They do that Monday Night Wars type of segment. Yeah, I remember that. It's good stuff. Well, what have you seen on it, Jimmy Jam?
That now that NWO took over Nitro.
Uh huh.
And over on...
Did they show the clip where Vince McMahon shows him and he's like, who would have believed that you'd see this face on Monday Night Raw? Or Monday... Or Nitro, whatever. WCW Nitro. I'm sorry, I'm shaking up here. You take it, Jack.
The loop.
I don't even know what WCW's Monday Night Show was called.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
No, they haven't done that yet.
I think Jacks are shaking up more than I am.
Part of me wants to continue, and part of me knows I'm a terrible human being.
Oh, jeez. Huh.
I'm ready for this Sunday.
Right, this Sunday. This Sunday, there's some heavy-duty stuff going on in there, Jimmy Jam.
Yeah.
What's going on?
Bound for Glory.
That's right, Inchman! Finally! It's this series, it goes on, I think, for 7 months.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a 7-month tournament that no one wants to see in any shape, fashion, or form. But, oh! This here is story.
I'm gonna go use the restroom.
No need to worry. We're bound for glory. Now these matches are gory. out for glory. Our women here are kind of hoary. Down for glory. Shout out to Willie Morey. Ooh, down for glory. Glory. But this here, it's my story. Cause I'm bound for glory.
This would be the first Bound for Glory pay-per-view I will ever order.
Oh yeah, you psyched, you pumped?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Why haven't you ever ordered them before?
Because a friend of mine invited me to his house for the past several years to watch it with him.
Ah, so this time you gotta front the money yourself.
I just decided to do it, pay for it for this for once.
I see. All right. Mm-hmm. All right, Jimmy Jam, we want to thank you for calling in. You're a good man, and keep on keeping on, all right?
All right.
Yep.
I'll see you at Days of the Dead, and thanks.
Perfect timing. Jimmy Jam. Hell yeah, Jimmy Jam, you are the man. Keep your head up.
Mm-hmm. Man, now people are always saying, like, we ask, like, the softball questions.
Uh-huh. We stumble over some hardballs.
Not anymore. Not anymore. I'm going to start asking that every interview.
Just to get to the bottom of it, just like, you know, one of these divas has been raped in the locker room at some point.
In the Royal Rumble, I thought you were going to say.
During the Royal Rumble. You just see a hand come out and grab him without a leg and pull him underneath the ring.
Mm-hmm. yeah. Oh, man. That, I don't know. It probably does it, you know. I don't know what to say.
Well, we have worked ourselves into a, I don't know, we're speechless.
Mm-hmm. I think that deserves a heading for the most awkward moment ever on In Your Head.
Most definitely. Congratulations. Alrighty. Jeez.
Mm-hmm.
We need some more callers. Come on.
Yeah, so anybody out there would like to call in, it's 508-644-8503, or you can Skype in Jacking Off.
Mm-hmm.
And you can talk about the wrestling,
mm-hmm.
and talk about all the good stuff going down. Yep. And this is probably going to be the first Days of the Dead that I do not attend.
This one coming up?
Yes.
When's it happening?
In November.
November. It's going to be a November to remember.
Exactly. Exactly. Alright. So, wrestling world been turned upside down. Larry Zbysko, he's out there doing interviews, and he said that Sting is the luckiest guy in the world because he couldn't wrestle, he couldn't talk. They had to stick him in a crow suit, put him up the rafters, and have him say nothing for a year to get one match out of him.
Every now and then, Larry Zbysko just wants to pick a fight with somebody. And it's always the greatest stuff ever.
Mm-hmm.
So you're in his sights now, Sting.
Mm-hmm.
Larry Zbysko wants to take you on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I mean, he is kind of lucky. I mean, As far as, like, charisma, he does have a lot of charisma, but I haven't seen, like, too many Sting matches that I've been like, that was a really good match. It's normally the guy who he's in the ring with who carries him.
Mm-hmm.
Well, whether it be Ric Flair or...
I will say, early 90s Sting had excellent matches. He's wrestling Mick Foley, had great matches with Cactus Jack, Big Van Vader, stuff earlier with Flair. Now, all those guys are great workers, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He was having a great match. He had a great match with Regal, pretty much everybody around that era. By the 95 and then Nitro days, I would say he really just became crap. Like, he stopped caring. He had to wear a shirt. People were talking about Luger, and they're saying, well, Sting was a better worker than Luger. Okay, I will agree with that. In the early 90s. I do think Luger had some good matches back in the late 80s. But I will say this. At least Luger put enough effort into the Nitro days where he was still juicing. Sting just stopped working out, had to wear a t-shirt. So, I will say Luger put in more effort. He's taking massive amounts of steroids and pumping. He was pumped up.
Mm-hmm.
Sting. What the hell do you do? Just walk around with a baseball bat.
So you're agreeing with Larry Zbyszko.
I agree. I'm going to agree with Larry Zbyszko. I'm not going to say he was never any good. I'll say he was good in the late 80s, early 90s. Then he's been living off the Crow gimmick for the last 20 years. But he did have a little bump when he started ripping off the Joker. That was pretty cool.
He needs somebody else to come out with face paint so he can rip them off.
What other movie could he rip off? It's always like after it's like popular too.
Yeah, it's been like a few years afterwards. Yeah. Let's see. Somebody with face paint that he could rip off.
Yeah, I don't know if they do a lot of
things. Done any, like, John Wayne Gacy movies recently? Or?
I don't believe so. Mm. That'd be a weird turn.
That would be. Jeez, I don't know. Somebody who has face paint.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Beats me, Jack.
Hey, I'm going to beat the shit out of you.
You can try.
I have. I beat you up. I took you down when we were in the fan fest.
I was watching out for you, Jack. I was like, you don't really want the Power Goat to come out. you don't want the Power Goat to come out and dominate you and show you what kind of man he is.
That's like what a 10-year-old says. I got beat up on purpose.
No.
I let him win.
Because if I would have came out and destroyed you, I would have damaged the room. I would have thrown you out the window and you would have been dead.
Uh-huh.
and you wouldn't like that too much, so I restrained myself.
I almost gave you the Jimmy Dram treatment.
All right, you know earlier when you said you're a wrong human being and you shouldn't continue?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I would have beat the fuck out of you. I would have knocked you senseless and you wouldn't have known what to do. I mean, seriously. If I would have opened up...
We were in there, and we were wrestling around, and I just took you and flung you on the bed like you were nothing. I walked away.
Hogwash, I say. Hogwash.
Let's
bunch
see.
Bunch of
baloney.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
Not too bad. Have you ever been raped?
Hell no.
Good man, good man. That's good.
If I were to ever get raped, man, I'd probably be in jail for murder right now.
There you go.
There you go. I'm a man's man, man. I'm from Philadelphia. No one
I raped. Believe you're the only caller so far that's called in who has not been raped.
Oh, yeah, that's sad.
It is.
At least I'm changing the pace, man. Fuck that.
We didn't ask Songman, but I think odds are good that he's been raped.
Oh, most definitely.
I wonder if it was Di's favorite person.
On a nightly basis. He probably likes it.
Probably. He's sitting there, he's like, oh, Jackie Jones turning me gay again.
Yeah, that was weird, man. I'm surprised he even took his call. I thought he was banned.
Yeah, I do get a kick out of my
Yeah, I was actually hoping he would take his calls.
He's my guilty pleasure.
On your year-end review, that will be your guilty pleasure.
Yeah. For now. There will be a time that I will not be able to take him anymore, like some other people. But yes, right now I can.
Yeah, I would hate to say, but I would say he's my guilty pleasure, too.
Yeah, he's there's something about him. It's fun. So what's on your mind in the world of wrestling?
Nothing, man. WWE sucking a bag of dicks, man. Terrible.
I admire him for trying this new thing, but it's kind of just falling flat anymore. It's just like, it's you just can't care about it too much. I don't know.
It seemed
like they were starting something good, but they do that all the time, and then it just turns to crap. Why can't they start something good and keep it good?
Yeah, I completely agree. Until SummerSlam, I thought they were going towards a good direction, and then, you know, I understand after SummerSlam towards Survivor Series is a, you know, slow time, but man, goddamn, man, I'm tired of seeing fucking CM Punk against Paul Heyman, and I'm tired of, you know, the whole Daniel Bryan. It's old now, man. We've watched it for, you know, 3 pay-per-views already.
Mm-hmm. I think just giving the guy the belt, like, 3 times now, and they've taken it away every time, It's just really ruined everything. How can they just keep taking it away from you? I know that's kind of like what they're trying to do, but Jesus Christ. Let somebody run with the belt for a little bit.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, man. I think they're just ruining his image. You know, I like how Rose won the titles, but, you know, fucking Triple H, man. Why does he have to end every show? You know, like, come on. You guys could have let them celebrate. Why the hell did he have to come in the ring and kick them out? And, you know, fucking Big Show coming through the crowd with security. How is that believable? I thought he's fired. Why is he coming with security?
Yeah, this is too much. Too much. And it's weird because there's a lot of, like, really talented guys there. Like, the Rhodes are very good. The Shield guys have great matches. Daniel Bryan has great matches. Punk's at the top of the card. But there's, it's one of the, it's getting really bad. Like, it's hard for me to keep watching it.
I'm pretty sure Big Show could just, like, take a whole mob and just kind of throw them out of the way if he needed to. If they start, like, you know, if the security wasn't there and they're trying to stop him, I'm sure he could just barrel through it.
Yeah.
To a degree. But,
yeah. I don't know what to say about WWE.
Well, the main event was good for Monday Night Raw, but it did have a kind of a stinky ending, but I did like it.
Yeah, I mean, if they didn't have that main event, man, that would have been one of the worst Raws.
I was expecting Dusty Rhodes to come out whenever I heard the fans start, like, you know, chanting a little. Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you like to see the Bionic Elbow?
Yeah, I kind of would have rather seen that, you know, and it would have made sense because he's been done wrong as well.
The Bull of the Woods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, President Clinton would. He loves the elbow.
Yeah, he does.
Who doesn't? I think Intra's the only one who really hates Dusty Rhodes.
No, I'm not the only one. Terry Funk shares my hatred for him.
That fat ass.
Every time he'll go off on Dusty Rhodes if you bring him up.
Way better than Dusty Rhodes, that fat ass.
As far as Terry Funk, man, I think I would have to say Terry Funk is probably the best that ever did it. He's probably my favorite wrestler of all time.
He's definitely one of mine. I love the Funker.
Yeah, definitely. He's
best punk.
I mean, what he did at his age, man. I mean, nobody can fucking move
really
off the top rope.
He really reinvented himself. He had all these different runs, and he was NWA World Champion. And then the 90s came, and he foresaw where it was going and reinvented himself and became very relevant, at an old age. It's pretty awesome. And I didn't know that till last week that he was going to be one of the knights in the in that Survivor Series match, which really just made me wonder, like, what a waste of Terry Funk. It's like, we're going to bring Terry Funk in. We're not really setting the world on fire right now. That was a pretty low time for WWE. And we're going to put him, like, in a mask and a suit so no one knows who he is, and, like, he's going to be a red knight. Like, that seems really stupid.
When you hear about all the dumb things WWE has done, it's just like, how did this company ever make it? It's like, how did they beat WCW? They've done some pretty stupid stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All these angles that they've left, you know, money on the table. The invasion angle, I mean, you couldn't have been given a better angle. They ruined it. I don't know. It's mind-boggling. But yeah, Terry Funk.
Yeah.
Has WWE ever used Terry Funk well?
No.
No, I don't believe so.
Yeah.
I don't believe so, because they had him, and he was branding people back in the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then he came in as a... I mean, I liked his stuff with Mick, but it wasn't the greatest. But he came in Chainsaw Charlie. That was pretty stupid.
Yeah, the only good match he had in you know, his second one, I guess, was the one against Cactus Jack. Mm-hmm. That was probably the only one that I remember that was good.
Well, him and Cactus versus the New Age Outlaws is pretty good.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, that was pretty good.
He had some good matches, but it's like, I would just want to see Miss Terry Funk, not as Chainsaw Charlie or something stupid.
Right. Did you know he's actually wrestling again?
Yeah, I think he's going to have he's saying it's like his last match, but you know, he said that many times.
Yeah, I'm going to be there for, I think it's House of Hardcore 3, I'll be there, so I'll let you guys know.
No, that's cool. No, I enjoy that show. I haven't seen him, but they always seem like they're pretty loaded.
Oh, yeah, man, I went to the last one. The last one was fucking awesome. I was, like you guys know, you know, when I first started calling in, Extreme Rising was still running shows, so I was a big fan of them, and I was, you know, I was looking at House of Hardcore coming to Philadelphia. I thought it was going to be a shitty show, but, you know, they did an awesome job, man. I thought I was a fucking five-star show, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Had a great time, so I think it's going to be good, and, you know, Extreme Rising is coming back. I'll be at that show also, so I'll let you guys know how that goes, but...
Yeah. Is Luke Hawks going to be with them? Because I remember hearing there for a little while Luke Hawks might be going to Ring of Honor. But I don't think if that ever happened or not.
You know what? Honestly, I don't think half the wrestlers that used to wrestle for them, I don't think they're going to show up. Because, you know, they fucking screwed them out of the WrestleMania checks, you know? That weekend is a big weekend for wrestlers, man. They're going to be making a lot of money. A lot of them couldn't book anymore.
Yeah,
so.
Probably a lot of those guys, though. It's like, you know, what else are they going to do? Like Balls Mahoney and people like that.
Oh, yeah, nobody cares about that, though.
I like Luke Cox, though. I think Luke Cox really could be their guy if they were serious about really taking off this, you know, with this company.
Yeah, definitely, man. I can see WWE fucking picking up Luke Cox, man. He's good.
Mm-hmm,
he's good.
Mm-hmm, I agree.
He's good, but, you know, Balls Mahoney and fucking Blue Meanie, man, I mean, I was big fans, like, 15 years, and, like, now it's just like, all right, man, I've already seen this shit. This guy fucking... He looks like he's, like, halfway dying. Like, I don't need to see this shit anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Bring in some new guys like they were doing. They were bringing in Damien 666's son and Rey Mysterio's cousin. I mean, it was good, you know? I'd rather see some new faces than see fucking Raven come to the ring and get paid $10,000 and do fucking nothing and just sit there and do a...
He was spent off the DVD because it was, like, so bad.
Oh, my God, man. When we were there, like, I honestly, the refund chance, I've never heard anything like that. Like, the whole fucking place just wanted to kill Shane Douglas. By the time the main event came, and I honestly thought people were throwing shit at him, it was crazy. I mean, I used to go to the ECW shows when I was a kid, and, you know, I've seen some crazy shit over there, but at the Extreme Rising show, man, I mean, the heat was crazy because people were legit pissed, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So was I. It was that bad. The only good match was Crowbar against Jerry Lynn. If they didn't wrestle, it would have been the worst show of all time.
I wonder if we could get Shane back on here. How do you think that would go if we had Shane back on talking about it?
And I'd like to see that. He's not a part of the company anymore, though.
Oh, he's not?
No, I think... No, it used to be five guys wrestling, and Steve O'Neill, I think he just bought his way out, and it's just him.
Hmm.
Which is actually is better because he was the only one that was doing anything. So
yeah, so that's pretty. Sabu versus Stevie's going to be on the show. That should be pretty good.
I still want to see that Sabu and Liger, man. They had that. They had that lined up for WrestleMania weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that kind of. Shane
Douglas is still listed here on their site.
Yeah, that's because they never update the site, man. They're fucking. Listen to this. Their shows got canceled. They were still selling tickets for the show 4 months later after the show happened.
Right.
I mean, come on.
Hmm.
It doesn't make any sense. I'd be pissed if I was one of the people that actually ordered the tickets after the show got canceled. Like, why the fuck didn't you guys just, you know, update the site and say, oh, the show's not happening?
Mm-hmm.
So, I was lucky enough to get my money back within a week, but I know some people waited like 3-4 months.
They said that they're going to get a TV show.
Nah, bullshit.
So they've linked a deal with local television station premiere their weekly broadcast TV beginning January 1st, 2014.
I mean, honestly, I'd love to see it happen, but they don't have enough footage, man. They've only done like four shows. And,
yeah, well, I guess they're going to start, if they're going to do a weekly show, I guess they're going to start, taping shows.
That'll get them more footage.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I don't mean to badmouth them, man. You know, I'm going to support them regardless because, you know, for me, it benefits me because I need some good wrestling in Philadelphia. I don't want to see fucking, I'm sure you heard about WWE coming here last week and it was like, what, like 50 people in the whole fucking arena?
Yeah, it was really empty. Did you see those pictures, Incher?
Oh, yeah.
No, I haven't seen them.
Empty, but... yeah.
Jeez, 50 people for a WWE house show?
Damn. Well, not literally, but it was empty. I mean, I wasn't there, but, you know, I've seen pictures on Rob Feinstein's Facebook, and it looked horrible.
Mm.
All right. Well, Shaheen, want to thank you for calling in. You're a good guy. We always like your calls, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. Have a good one.
You too.
Bye.
Take it easy.
I like that guy.
Shaheen, he always comes in. He brings it. He's got. He keeps us up on the indie scene in Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm.
It's a good man.
Streets of Philadelphia. Boom.
I haven't thought about that song in a long time.
Mm-hmm. Very uplifting song, uplifting movie.
Mm-hmm. It is.
So, do you think they missed any beards besides Daniel Bryan? Any memorable beards?
Any memorable beards? Beards that they probably missed. Let's see. The Berserker? Was he on there?
He was on there.
Damn. Now, what about the dude from the Highlanders?
He was not. Rory McAllister.
Mm-hmm. But he wasn't a very memorable guy.
He cut the beard off.
Did he?
Yeah. He's another guy who wrestles with Ed Gonzalez a lot.
Ah.
We got Jobes on the line.
Hey, guys. What's up?
Too much. So, have you ever been raped?
I don't know. I'm going to say no. I have been to some parties where I blacked out, though. So.
Mm-hmm. Did your anus hurt the next day?
No, actually, it was fine. So
it looks
if I were, if I was raped, it was a very gentle raping.
Mm. Or just a very small man.
Yeah, so, could be.
Must have been with, Jack.
Would that hurt your feelings if you rape somebody and then, like, they just no-sold it?
First of all...
I think I'd be happy, because you could go to jail for
I want to... I want to applaud Jimmy Jam because to be a male and admit that you're raped, it takes some balls.
It does indeed.
Because most guys would just be like, "Oh, nope, yeah, it didn't happen." We just try to shake it off, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's like that saying I have here on the show. That's one I'm going to take to the grave.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if I ask you that, I don't know if I'm getting a straight answer or not, Incher.
Well, I have not been raped, but...
I don't know. You just said you'd take it to the grave if you were.
If I were to be raped, I would take it to the grave, and I'd never tell a soul.
So what if you were raped by, like, a hot chick?
Ryan James used to be in the... Ryan James, Toast Hogan.
Oh, yeah, Burger Stomper.
Yeah, he was in the chat room once, and he was telling us about being raped by, like, this older woman... When he's like 16, I just started laughing, and he got all mad because he was like, "No," because he was like, "This really like scarred me," and I was like, "Nah, I don't know,
I'm not buying it."
Yeah, if you were like a 15 or 16 year old dude, and this woman, first of all, I mean, you got to get like an erection for her to rape you.
Yeah, is it really rape?
Yeah.
I guess it could be like saying like you're an adolescent and you're not of sound mind, but still, mm-hmm. I don't know. It just doesn't seem the same.
It's not the same.
That Mexican dude who was banging that teacher and he had a kid with her. You didn't see him complaining. He married her. You remember?
Yeah, he shouldn't have told nobody though. Then they go to jail.
Well, she did for a while, and then like when she got out, they got married.
Mm-hmm.
didn't Gagne's, Vern Gagne's granddaughter got arrested for raping
all
Sugar.
Kinds of kids. That's weird.
She was pretty hot.
Mm-hmm.
All I'm saying is I wish she was my teacher.
Yeah.
Why does that Van Halen song pop into my head right now?
Teacher. or a different one. Might as well jump.
No, not jump.
I will jump. Jump.
That's the one that popped into my mind. Might as well jump.
Jump off a bridge.
No, I was thinking of standing on top of the world.
Really? What?
That one is like standing on top of the world.
You weren't thinking of Hot for Teacher?
No, I wasn't thinking of that.
Hot for Teacher could have been the go-to for me.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sorry, Jobes. I did not think of that.
Runaway Train.
That's
Runaway Train. Soul Asylum.
That's Soul Asylum.
Whatever.
Runaway Train never come back.
Alright, so Jobes, what's on your mind? What in the world of wrestling?
Did you guys have you guys checked out that new article by Mark Madden?
I saw one about him saying Dave Meltzer doesn't show favoritism. Is that the one you're talking about, or are you talking about something else?
I'm talking about the one that he recently wrote about how WWE is kind of hurting Daniel Bryan right now. And for the most part, I think Mark Madden's a big melting hippo, and I think he's an idiot. But I thought he brought up some pretty valid points in the article about how house shows are viewed as expendable by the audience, and now some pay-per-views are being viewed as expendable.
Yeah.
And how I thought he had a pretty valid point with that. I kind of
I
agree
did too.
With that.
And it's very weird because I see people like Jimmy Bracken and Mickey Mickelson, and they're just like, they defend this, and I don't understand the mentality. It's one thing the company, which even that's just like mind-boggling, but as a consumer of a product, who would be like, well, yeah, that is a throwaway show, so you shouldn't expect it to be good. You should just pay your $50, watch it, expect it to be nothing. I mean, what kind of moron would have that mentality? What kind of company would put out something that you know is not good? They're like, well, this one will be our throwaway show, then we'll have a good show. No, if people are paying $50 for your show, all of them should be good. Now your WrestleMania and stuff, we're going to go the extra mile to make this one better, but not we're going to cut these back to make them suck so these other ones look better in comparison. That's awful. That is why they're in bad shape.
The reason that you order the pay-per-view is for the blow-off of the big hot angler to see his face finally get his comeuppance. Mm. And then, you know, you place your hard-earned $50, and then you see the finish to the pay-per-view the next night on free TV.
Yeah, it's awful.
If that was my livelihood, if that's how I made a living day-to-day, you know, I mean, I think I would put everything that I got into it. I would try to make it good for the people who are paying for the product.
Of course.
They just get very complacent and just say, yeah, we'll just make this one. Yeah, it'll be our blowaway show. Just say.
That end of the last pay-per-view, if that was on Raw, that's fine because it's a continuing episodic television show, so you watch it the next week.
Mm-hmm.
But like Jobes just said, when you pay for the pay-per-views are the payoff to what you see on free TV. Now, they can still continue from that, but there should be something, like you paid your money and you feel like you've actually got your money's worth. It shouldn't end in something where there's no finish and that you have to watch the free television show to see the outcome. That's just not right. And that's not a bad match. That's not like, well, we can't help this. We booked this, you know, these two guys who thought they'd have a good match and they didn't. Anything can happen. You know, that can happen. You can't blame them for that. But when they book, when they're writing the storyline and they book out the match and book out the end of that match, they should know better than to have that at the end of a pay-per-view. That's just, you're ripping people off and knowing beforehand. It makes no sense either. It makes no sense. Why? It's like you're trying to get people not to like to feel ripped off. What kind of like logic is it? Like make the people that's like most loyal to your company that go out of the way to buy the shows to feel stupid? It's very
well. I feel that they've finally seen the error of their ways, and I think it Hell in a Cell finally put the title on Brian and
mm-hmm.
And according to reports, that's why they're bringing Cena back and everything, is because the reaction to the last two pay-per-views has been so negative that they're worried. They feel that they're alienating their fan base, which is what they are doing.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to.
I mean, you think they would just have, it would have been like common knowledge before that last one. But hopefully this will turn into like you know, some high quality pay per views.
I see Cena winning the title. I see them putting the title on Bryan. I see CM Punk going over. So it's just a, you know, as sort of a, I guess, an olive branch to the fans who have wasted their money on the last two pay per views non finishes.
I can see Daniel Bryan losing because Shawn Michaels like does something. I could honestly see that happening. Like Triple H got him to do it or something. Because, like, he promised on Monday Night Raw that, you know, there will be a new champion. So, I don't know.
I think that they'll, I mean, after two back-to-back non-finishes on the pay-per-view, well, three if you count Survivor Series, I'm sorry, SummerSlam, I really don't see any reason for them to do that again. I think, because
of
the last two pay-per-views.
I think they've already done a lot of damage to Daniel Bryan. I don't think he's nearly, like... I mean, he really seemed like he was going to be this next big deal. And he's still very popular, but it's not quite the same. And I think if he loses this time, I think it's kind of over for him. I don't see him ever being...
But that's the way they operate, man. They bury some guy who's hot, and then when he's dead, they finally push him.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not smart. It never turns out well.
Mm-mm. It's kind of like Ryback. It's like he was super over, you know, about half a year ago, but now he's a nobody pretty much.
Well, that's the best they did with Ryback. They did it with Punk. They did it with Ziggler to an extent. They don't strike. They strike when the iron is cooled off.
Mm-hmm. That's what I've been saying on the show. It's very bizarre. I don't know. It's like Jim Ross's blog was, I thought, was very well written, and he said you can't reinvent the booking wheel. I mean, there's certain things that are just universal in storytelling and in wrestling. And you can, you know, evolve that to a certain degree, but there's still things. People want to see people win, you know, that they want to see. And if you see people win, they seem more important. And people want to, vie for the championships and... But they're losing a lot of just like the basic like storytelling when they're trying to build up a new guy. And I think lately a lot of Mark Madden's posts have made a lot of sense.
I do too.
I know a lot of people just hate him. I know a lot of people didn't like him at all as a commentator, but I thought he was alright. I think he was great, but I think he's better than a lot of people around today. Fly, fat ass fly.
Well, I don't know. He kind of gets on my nerves a little bit because it's just like he was just this announcer for like maybe a year or so in WCW, and then like he gets his own radio show and everything, and it's just like, well,
before that he wrote for the Torch for a long time.
Did he? Maybe I just don't know enough about him, but I don't know. I think he
worked behind the scenes in WCW for a long time too before he was actually an announcer.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I think he was on their show too, their internet show.
Yeah.
Nah. It didn't sit with me very well, but maybe I just don't know, you know, all of the things that he's done and everything. But he kind of just seemed like this dude just came out of nowhere, and he's the king shit. And I did not agree with it. I'm the king shit, Mark Madden.
There was something I did want to bring up about Marty Jannetty breaking kayfabe, which I did like. Was he said he never liked the term Mark, I totally agreed with him because he's like he told other people, he tells other wrestlers, you know, not to use it because he says if all these guys, it's their passion. They've like destroyed their bodies to make this seem like, you know, legit, and it's, you know, it's what they do for a living and for their life. And then to call all the people who enjoy what you do like a bunch of idiots, what does that say about you? You know, I've always thought that too. It's like, why would you want to call your own, the fans of what you do, you know, complete morons?
Yeah, I was trying to get into that earlier, but it is a strange mentality with wrestling that they hate their own audience. And it's just like, why would you even have a term to, you know, a derogatory term for the people who enjoy your product?
Mm-hmm.
It's like they're all marks. It's
like at one point in time when it was really, when they were trying to pull one over on everybody and make them think it's real, it's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But now, no, I mean, for decades now, no, that's not been what wrestling's about. So it's just really, really makes no sense.
I mean, I know
I don't know, like, really when it was ever about that. I've heard a lot of, like, they say, I think, like, back, I'm pretty sure even back in the 50s, most people probably didn't think it was legit. And they say that there's stuff in the newspaper from, like the early 1900s where they still were talking about it being fake.
Yeah, it's just that people are hard to fool. I mean, somebody, a man goes up for, like, a slingshot, it's like, I don't know if that would actually happen.
Some people, but I think the vast majority just watched it as entertainment.
And I know I use the term, like, podcast marks and stuff, but I just use it because I think it's just totally hilarious that there's a business that would have a term that would say, you know, you're it's a bunch of marks.
Yeah, I mean, these guys, and it's not even that they just do it and that there's no repercussions. They just go out there and do it. But a lot of these, almost all the guys are beaten down. They have, like, this crazy, like, you know, if you don't like what we do, if you don't have this passion for this business, you know, we want to weed you out, we hate you and stuff. But then to, like, look down on the people who like what you're doing and you're destroyed. Why would you destroy your body for something where you think so little of the people who respect? It's very weird.
Well, I've kind of always thought it might have been, like, the mainstream, like, entertainment world, how they've never really accepted wrestling, and how it's always been kind of like this underground kind of thing.
You should really go out of your way, then, I think, to, like, your own fans.
Yeah, but I think it's kind of, like, made all these performers kind of, like, just, like, miserable in a way, and, like, they kind of hate the people that they can hate, you know?
Hate their own people that, well, I mean, they, like, what would motivate you besides money, then? To go out there and put on a performance where you're like, just the other.
Well, it's like
ultimate mark. Then they are the ultimate mark. If they're going out there, they think nothing of their audience, but they're going to go out there and kill themselves. So the other the other wrestlers think, wow, that was something. Then they're the marks.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, we hear stories about Kevin Nash talking about Hulk Hogan in the ring, and somebody will act like they really want to go out there and have a match, and he'll kind of bear hug them and say, you know, easy, brother. We already got their money, you know? It's kind of like, well, I'm not going to, like, kill myself for this.
Well, that's smart, but I'm saying, like, a guy who is, like Triple H. He went out, he tore his quad, was his quad or whatever.
Yeah.
In a match, and he kept going. He still finished the match. If he really thinks all the people watching that are just marks and idiots, and then why do you do that for? Just to look tough to the people, to other wrestlers in the back?
I think that has a lot to do with it. It's just like that mentality. Like, if you stop,
then someone who has that mentality is more of a mark than the people watching it in the audience.
Yeah, it's kind of like what I was saying earlier. They all are marks.
If you just stop the match,
Everyone,
if he thinks everyone's just an idiot anyway, what the hell? Why?
So basically, the guy who is not a mark is Sin Cara. He's like, stub my finger, bro. We gotta stop this match.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not a mark. I know this is bullshit.
He's like, let's end the fucking thing.
I think.
And that fucking mark, Alberto Del Rio, start potatoing him.
I think the term mark has evolved over time. We're back in the, back in the 80s and the 70s, you know, it was a derogatory term. But now, these days, you know, it just means that it's a person who's a big fan of the product. Whereas in the past, it was a derogatory term meant for someone who believes everything. Now it's just a general term for a big fan of wrestling.
I still think that's a very negative tone to it.
Carney told me, I had a conversation with this guy who worked at a carnival, and I asked him where that word came from, and he said, well, whenever, like, you know, somebody would come along and pay money to play your game, it would take a piece of chalk and mark it on your back, and then they'd be like, well, that's a mark, you know? It's basically a sucker who's going to pay money for you, you know? So how could that be, like, an endearing term ever, you know? That's where it started from.
But I mean, when I'm at the conventions, I mean they really, not all of them. There's pretty much, I would say the majority, that the big majority, still look down somewhat to their fans.
Well, it's like Abdullah the Butcher having people relay messages to him. He wouldn't even speak to the fans directly. Mm-hmm. I mean, my God. Yeah. Where does that mentality come from?
I feel bad saying this because the guy's dead, and he was very good to us for a long time. And then when he had you probably know who I'm talking about if you put things together. But anyway, this is what happened, so I'm going to say what happened. He had a final run in WWE, and he asked me to take down the old interviews because he said people in WWE would listen to him, and so I was like, yeah, that's whatever. And he said, if you do that for me, I promise to come on the show after this run in WWE is over. So I took them down for that time period. They're back up now. And so he's going to come on. And for years, Sky was great to us. He's one of our first guests. Always very nice. He actually did stuff for the Headies for us. Very nice guy. But he really had changed after his last run in WWE. He had a totally different attitude. And I was like, I had his telephone number because he's been on the show, and he's called me before, even when he wasn't on the show. And I was like, but I always say anyways, like, I either need your number, you can call in, whichever. And he told me, he's like, I do not give my number out to marks. And it was very negative to me, calling me a mark. And when he came on the show, he said it outright. He said, I'm only doing this because I promised you I would come on. And it was a totally different attitude. It was no longer friendly. It was he was a big star, and we were marks. It was very, very disappointing, because before that, he was a very good guy.
Yeah. I don't know. He must have been in a different phase of his life or something. I don't know how to explain that type of behavior. But strange.
Mm-hmm.
Jobes? I hope you're feeling better, my man. How's the health?
Oh, good, good. I'm up walking around now. Thank you for your concern. For everybody just wondering, I had a terrible car accident, but I'm doing much better now. And
that's
I appreciate your well wishes.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's got to be rough. I know my car was just hit last week, and it was knocked off the freaking road into, like, the sidewalk, and I wasn't in it, and I just... All I could think was, like, thank God I was not in that car, because I would not want to be laid up in the hospital or anything like that. But you are my man, and I hope you get better.
Yes.
Thanks, guys. I really appreciate it.
And remember, don't use the fifth chapstick.
Never, never. I'll put that away somewhere where I can't find it.
Mm-hmm. Good man. All right. Thank you for calling in, Jobes. You're a good man.
Thanks.
Excellent. All right.
Good caller there.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've had some good calls tonight. Can we get any more? I don't know. We only got a few more minutes. Do you want to go any longer? Because I certainly can't think of anything to talk about.
Wait, Bray Wyatt is hurt. He's going to be out for a while.
Is he going to do his, like, manager type of thing still, where he's coming out with him, but he ain't wrestling?
I get. Well, they say he can't walk, but was he walking on Raw this week?
I thought he was.
I thought so, too.
Yeah, I thought he came
out. Maybe Meltzer doesn't get his facts right lately. He's getting some bad stooges.
Maybe one of those, like, MMA guys punched him in the head or something, and he just can't get it straight anymore. Like, come here, MMA Mark.
Mm-hmm.
We'll knock you around a little bit.
Exactly. He, the,
You do not hear any like term like that for like the entertainment business. It's like these goddamn movie marks didn't go out and buy, you know, didn't go out and buy tickets to my last movie. You don't hear anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Good times, good times. Let's see here. If you guys want to call in, 508-644-8503, Skype and jacking off. We'll be kind of, I think we'll probably wrap up the show here, but we will take calls.
I don't understand the Wyatt crew. It's just...
I don't like
them. Like, they had a whole bit set up, and like it was kind of a neat debut, but it's kind of like not once they got to the ring, it's like, what do you do with them?
Yeah, I don't think it's good.
Hmm.
I think Bray Wyatt's very bad. He's a very poor wrestler.
Yeah. And he's kind of working like a big man. It kind of seems like he should be just like the chicken shit kind of guy. He talks a lot of stuff, and then, you know, he's running in his matches.
Yeah, it's just not working for me.
None, me neither. Not
for me. Let's see here. Kid Zombie wants to know how big is Batista's dick.
How would we know that? I mean, honestly, I know people ask silly questions, but how are we going to know that? If Batista, the animal, was a homosexual and he wanted to get with one of us, I could see us knowing it. If we were homosexuals as well, but we're not. So how in the world are we supposed to know that? Bad question. Can we ban that guy?
5.7 inches.
I'm sorry. Well, okay. Well, I'll take all that back that I said before.
Luis Felipe Dulanto wants to know, how much should Hogan lose in his zigzag return to TNA with a smaller payday? I don't know.
So TNA undercut.
I don't think that's correct. I don't think that's correct. I think because they said that TNA offered him a lot more than WWE, so I think he's doing pretty well.
So you think they offered him more, and that's kind of a false report.
Yes. Bob wants to know.
I can see him keeping him at the same rate, you know?
Yeah,
like,
probably.
But it was just more than WWE.
Bob wants to know, have you seen Hogan doing the Miley?
Is that the twerking thing or whatever?
Yes. He does it. Well, it's like she has a video where she's like on a wrecking ball and she's licking like a sledgehammer. And he did one where he's on a wrecking ball and he's got a thong on.
Why is Hulk Hogan doing that?
It's on like a bunch of the news channels. It just gave him some press, I guess. Talking about him.
Can't he get somebody to talk about him in other ways? I mean, can't he do another sex video and be like, oh, you son of a bitch. I didn't mean to fuck your wife. Why does he gotta be copying Miley Cyrus?
Well, I don't know. Taza wants to know, how bad is Dixie Carter on TNA? I have not seen it. I will say Dwayne sent me some videos. I'll have to watch those.
I have not watched... Recently, the last one that I watched was when Dixie first turned heel. I had half the mind to put in the TNA Impact, but it just didn't quite cut the mustard. I did not put in the TNA Impact. Sorry.
Yeah, I'm not either. Rattle does say, personally, I feel like TNA's been putting out some of the worst stuff they've ever done post-lockdown. I will say every year when they do Bound for Glory, it really just goes to the shitter, in my opinion.
I don't understand what the deal is with TNA. It's just like, do they got like orangutans writing the scripts? I mean, what is going on with TNA? They've got a bunch of good talent, and it's like, why can they not, for the life of them, like, stumble upon a good show? And they can't. I don't get it. They can't stumble upon a good angle. They can't stumble upon some sort of superstar to get their company going. They can't do it. It just seems impossible.
MXT wants to know, what do we think about Buddy Landell?
I like Buddy Landell. He's come on the show. He's always a good dude to us.
Very underrated. Not necessarily underrated. I think his own demons got in the way of him being a bigger star. But excellent worker. And he also not necessarily out of shape. I mean, he could go long and have, but he got fat in during, like, I think if he, earlier, it's not necessarily a big problem, but like, it was definitely a problem when he tried to have a WWE run.
Yeah,
but I mean, he could still go in the ring. But yeah, I always really liked him. Very good worker, I think. If you go and YouTube some of his matches from like the Crockett era. You know, just his TV matches, and they're excellent. He's very, very hard-hitting. His stuff looks legit. I really dug him. Good guy. All right. So I think that's about it.
Is that all the questions from the podcast, Marks?
That is all the questions from the pod. Weeba wants to know, how odd was it having Batista's daughter on the show?
I wasn't there for that interview, so you'll have to answer that.
That was the one time I was doing an interview and I felt like, man, I'm a scumbag. She seemed very young and talking to her about having like a sex tape. And it could have been a lot better if I was like a worse human being. So it was like a catch-22. It's like I'm not, probably if I would do it now, it probably would have been better. But that time I still had a little bit of like, I would watch what I'd say. To a certain degree. Now I really don't. Except for with Jimmy Jam, there was some. So I don't know. There is a line I guess I do have. Because there was part of me really wanted to ask some other things to Jimmy Jam earlier. But I tried to be a good human being.
You see,
but,
I don't know if he was serious with that or not. But
I'm pretty sure he was.
I guess he was. That is, I don't know. Mind-boggling.
Sad times. Maybe we call it cops.
I think that's long. It's in the past. So I would say, I hope it wasn't like present, and we're just laughing about it.
That was yesterday. It was an hour ago.
It was right before he called the show.
Wow, he's calling the show.
let's just get away from this. I'm getting very uncomfortable. You're going into Athena Batista territory right now.
If you guys really want to hear, I mean, I'll get some like wild turkey, and I'll be good to ask him like really terrible questions. But I don't think we want to hear that.
Yeah, I don't think I could stick around for it.
All right. But if you do want to hear a lot of rape talk, the upcoming Dinner and a Movie Entity, wall-to-wall rape talk.
There you go.
So, right now there's a Smurfs episode out. Smurfs 2. And I would go on record, it's probably the dirtiest review you'll ever hear of Smurfs 2. So check that out. Thumbs. All right, Inchman. I had fun tonight.
What made you watch Smurfs 2?
We lost the bet.
Who lost the bet?
Annabelle and I.
You both did?
Yeah, we did, it was called the No Fag Campaign, and we weren't allowed, remember though, I was being a good guy on the show, I wasn't allowed to talk about Nazis, racism, misogynist talk, sexism. I couldn't talk about rape. There was a whole. Basically, I was just a guy with a hat. They took away all my material. But we failed. For 2 weeks, we weren't supposed to be able to talk about any of that. And we failed. And so, for comeuppance, we had to go see Smurfs 2. That was the punishment.
I'll be damned.
And write fail on our face in white with white hoodies. It's kind of like the no hate. We were going to write no fag on our face, but we thought we might get thrown out of the restaurant. Weeble says, he says, Intra and Jack, you're stupid assholes. TNA has a lot of good stuff. Bad Influence, Austin Aries, Bobby Roode, etc. Aren't all those guys in Bad Influence? That's like WWE, though. I mean, if I say it's bad, I don't like it. But, I mean, I can also say at the same time, I mean, the Shield's great. The Rhodes family's great.
Hey, we said they have a lot of good talent. I did earlier.
I love Bully Ray.
Pretty sure Jack feels like they have a lot of good talent. We're just not sure why they cannot put together a show that people want to watch.
Mm-hmm.
I find it like, I don't know, when it's like, I mean, I even get it for Raw a little bit, but I force myself to watch Raw. It's like Raw rapes itself into my world. But, because it's the must-see wrestling show. But TNA Impact, it's hard for me to work up the chutzpah to watch that one. It's hard.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Well, that's about it. This weekend I'll be going to Rock and Shock Insure.
Rock and Shock. Who will be accompanying you to the Rock and Shock?
Annabelle Lecter and myself will be at Rock and Shock.
Annabelle Lecter and Jackie Jones at
Rock
and Shock.
Yeah, I believe Andre will be there as well. Yeah, and Andre will be.
Have not talked to that fellow in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He's a good dude.
Mm-hmm.
I hope you guys enjoy yourselves. Get some good interviews. Go out there.
Yeah, I'll be going. We'll be going to see Danzig in concert.
Danzig, he's a good dude. He loves his former bandmate Jerry Only.
I think Jerry Only's going to be there.
They're going to reunite at the thing.
Yeah, it's the 25th anniversary.
25th anniversary of the Misfits?
Danzig.
Oh.
But someone from, I don't know. But anyway, it's all on the website. Go check it out.
Danzig did have some good tunes as well, you know, even outside of the Misfits. I mean, a lot of good music. I enjoy it. I think if you ever marry Annabelle Lecter, you need to come down the aisle to, like, Her Black Wings.
What is that?
It's a song. You can look it up. I think that would be your wedding song.
All right. I'll check that one out. Anyway, thank you for listening to the show here. IYHWrestling.com, Incher. In your head.
There you go.
Kicking ass. We're taking names. I've been on here 2 weeks in a row. Feeling like old times, Incher.
Congratulations, Jack. So what's the deal? Are you still not a permanent host? Are you still just going to...
I'm the fucking man.
You do not want to answer that question, do you?
I am the fucking man. What do you think about that answer?
I guess it'll do. I'm looking forward to Mike Bessler's article in PWI. It'll be good times.
Yeah, that'll be good stuff. I will... I think it's... Is it next... Yeah, I'll be here. I think I'll be here next week. I'll be here next week. The 30th, I will not be here.
Well, I don't think I want to do a show on the 30th. So, there may not be a show on the 30th.
Nah.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe the podcast marks talk me into it. But I don't know if I want to be here. Because I think it's like trick-or-treats on that night or something.
It's the night after, I think. Well, unless they do it weird and in Swaziland, where the hell you live.
Swaziland? Where the hell did you get that?
It's like, what, West Virginia?
You know where the fuck I live. You've been to my house, you asshole. Jesus Christ.
You never been to mine.
No? You never invited me either. You've never said, Incher, come on up.
You come on by. What the hell are you going to do around here, though?
All the things that you ignore, you're like, I could go out and see the whales, and you're like, but fuck that shit. It's like stupid beach. You have all these nice things around you, and you're just like, ah, fuck it. I don't want to see any of that bullshit. I could meet the cart guy?
I haven't seen the cart guy for a long time. They opened Market Basket, which is like the talk of the town. That's like everyone goes to the Market Basket. It's like the big, it really is. Like, this is a sad town here, but the people go friggin' nuts for the Market Basket. And then, so.
Okay, maybe it is a boring town.
So now when I go to the old grocery store, the Stop and Shop, it's like dead. and it makes you feel sad.
Like, there isn't like a Kroger's around you or a Walmart of some sort?
No, we don't. Walmart's not allowed in town. Crazy.
Man. Just can't imagine a world without the Walmart.
No, we got to stop. And actually, the Market Basket's not even in town. It's in Sagamore, but it's very close to me.
They won't even let the Stop and Shop around.
The Stop and Shop's in Sandwich, but not the Market Basket. Well, instead of the Market Basket open, everybody going freaking nuts. You go there, it's like you can't even get near like the deli section. People are like, it's like four rows deep. People are like, holy shit, I got to get some fucking bologna. And,
you know, independent owners must love you guys because, like, they're the only place that they can thrive. To an extent, they can't get too big because then they'll be thrown out.
And so I go to Stop and Shop, and that's where the cart guy used to be. And I don't, you know, no, I did see him not that long ago, and I avoided him.
Well, I'm excited because Huntington is about to have its first. Mm-hmm. Popeye's chicken.
Really?
Yeah, never ate Popeye's chicken in my entire life, so.
I thought, didn't we go to Popeye's?
No, we went to Bojangles.
Oh, that's right.
Bojangles was good. I liked it.
Mm-hmm. It's similar.
Mm-hmm. So
I like Popeye's.
I have to check out the Popeye's.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's on my front, the exciting world of Huntington, West Virginia. Gotta go down to Popeye's. It's a brand new place.
Popeyes is cool.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, right. Jackie Jones, have mm-hmm. a good time at the Rockin' Shock. It's good mm-hmm. talking to Gangrel. It's good talking to all the listeners out there.
Mm-hmm. I love you.
Oh, I love the podcast, Marks. I love you too, Jackie Jones. And that time in the room, well, I'm taking it to the grave.
Mm-hmm. I love you all.
All right, kids. Stay out of trouble.
Keep Don't
your
do bath salts.
Clean. Yeah, bath salt's bad.
And wipe your ass.
Yeah, that's. I mean, if you don't do anything else today, just if you take it number two, wipe your ass for Christ's sakes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not that hard. Just get the little toilet paper and, you know.
Wipe that bad boy.
We give good tips here.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week. Peace out.
Hello, this is Ruby Chugarella. Hello to all my Jewish fans. This is in your head, in my Jewish, in your blood. Keep it up, and God bless you all. The Jews.